Good morning. You are listening to listener-supported non-commercial radio from Henry Ford College. It's WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. 10 o'clock Tuesday, you know what that means.
Kansas City, here I come.
Nothing to do with Kansas City, but it's another radio vault. We're going to kick it off in just a moment with Jack Benny. This is an episode from 1946. He features Edward G. Robinson. See? That'll be our first offering. We also have on tap Fibber McGee and Molly, one of the classic shows. Actually, we have a whole hour of Fibber McGee and Molly. I think we're going to save those two shows for hour number two. On tap is the Jam Session episode from the Great Gildersleeve. And that one is from a little later, 1953. Hour number three, a potpourri of stuff. Abbott and Costello, the episode with Lana Turner, the famous movie actress of the golden age of films. And we have the First Nighter program and a 1941 episode called Love and Gazooza. So if you're ready for that, I'm not sure that I am, but I am ready for Jack Benny. Let's take a listen, shall we?
The Jack Benny Program. The Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, we take you out to Jack Benny's house in Beverly Hills, where we find Jack and Rochester in the garage.
I can't understand why the car won't start. Try it again, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Try it again, Rochester.
Okay.
Try it again, Rochester.
Wait till I put the door back on.
Okay. It didn't start.
No, but the door stayed on.
Oh, good, good. I can't understand what's wrong.
Maybe the motor's worn out.
Oh, no, that's impossible. The speedometer only says 88,000 miles.
Oh, come now, boss. We pushed it further than that.
Well, you better go in the house and call Mr. Harris and tell him to pick me up on his way to the studio, eh?
Oh, I did that before we came out to the garage.
Oh, then you knew there was something wrong with the... Rochester, did you use my car last night?
Well,
Rochester, I just found a bobby pin on the front seat.
A bobby pin?
Yeah. What are you laughing at?
There's only two of us here and it ain't mine.
Well, it isn't mine either. Rochester, you used my car last night to take your girl out.
Uh-huh.
Well, how did it go?
Oh, very good, very good. Heard like a kitten.
That's funny, and today it won't even start.
Oh, you mean the car.
Yes, the car. How did it go?
Oh, fine, boss, fine. Until I lost a tire off the front wheel.
You lost a tire. Why didn't you come back home?
Well, the rim got caught in the trolley car tracks, and I had to go all the way to Pasadena before I could make a left turn.
Pasadena?
Yeah, and on the way back, we got stalled right in the middle of the Santa Claus Lane parade.
You and your girl, huh? What happened?
Nothing. We prefer Mulholland Drive.
Roger, in the future, when you want to go out joyriding, borrow your friend's car. You know who I mean, Sam. He loaned it to you once before.
Well, Sam ain't got that car anymore. He's got 2 motorcycles now.
Oh. Traded his car in, eh?
No, he backed into a buzzsaw.
Oh, my goodness. Did Sam get hurt?
No, but if he hadn't leaned over to put down the window, he'd have been twins.
Well, look, Rochester, there's no use working with this any longer.
Okay, Jackson, I'm here.
Be right with you, Phil. So long, Rochester. I'll see you after the broadcast.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to take you out of your way, Phil, but I couldn't get my car started.
You know, Jackson, when you bought that car, it's too bad you didn't wait just one more year. They came out with a wonderful improvement.
Yeah? What was it?
The Pony Express.
All right. Come on, let's get to the studio. Say, this car really runs nice.
Well, you know me, Jackson. Nothing but the best for Harris.
Oh, boy, what a fancy dashboard. What are all those buttons for?
Well, that's a radio. I push this button and get Australia. I push this button and get London. This button, China. This button, France. And on up to 8 countries.
Gee, my radio, I've only got 3 buttons. Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga. I can only get Anaheim when I'm in Azusa.
How do you get Cucamonga?
Short wave. They got a wonderful program from there, too. John's Other Smudge Pot. I never miss it, you know. Oh, boy. Phil, this is really a swell car. How much did it cost, Phil?
$3,500.
$3,500. Gee, I wish I had 2 shows. Hey, Phil. Phil, the traffic light is changing.
I see it.
Watch it, will you, kid?
Oh, Martha, look who's sitting in that car. Jack Benny. Well, isn't that a coincidence? 3 weeks ago we were standing here, and he drove by then, too.
Yes. Isn't he handsome?
Martha, what are you crying about?
Well, I can't help it. When Mr. Benny was in vaudeville, he was my husband's favorite comedian.
Well, that's nothing to cry about.
I was thinking of my husband. He's been dead for 40 years.
Oh, say, Martha, I've just noticed who's sitting next to Mr. Benny.
Who?
Look. Well, box back my coat and button my shoes if it isn't Ham Hocks and Turnip Green. What a thrill.
Let's go over to the car and ask them for her autograph.
Oh, no, Emily. They'll think we're trying to pick them up.
Oh, yeah.
Gee, those 2 old ladies are sweet. You know, Phil, I saw them at the football game yesterday.
Oh, did you go, Jackson? There was such a mob out there. How'd you ever park your car?
Oh, I didn't take my car. It was such a nice day, I decided to swim. Fortunately, it was downstream.
Thank you. say goodnight played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen...
Okay, Don, okay, we're here. I'm sorry we were late, but I couldn't get my car started, and then we got held up in traffic.
Well, that's all right, Jack. We filled in with a couple of orchestra numbers.
Good, good, Don. But who led the band?
Frankie.
Frankie? What does he know about music?
Are you kidding, Jackson? Frankie's a natural. He was born with a banjo on his knee.
He was?
Yeah, they had to operate on him before they could get his pants on. Keep that up and you'll be another Carmen Lombardo, Phil.
I'll settle for anybody. Now, Don, Mary is still in Palm Springs, so when we do our play tonight, we'll have to...
Hello, get... Mr. Benny.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Phil.
Hiya, kid.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mary. I guess she's mad at me.
Dennis, she's not mad at you. Mary isn't here. She's in Palm Springs.
Oh.
Now, Don...
Well, if she isn't mad, why doesn't she call me up?
Well, she has no reason to call. Dennis, take my word for it. If Mary were here, she'd say hello to you.
Oh, yeah? Well, I wouldn't even answer her.
All right, don't answer her. Now, Don...
Yes, Jack?
As you know, 2 weeks ago, we were going to do our version of The Killers, but we had to postpone it until tonight.
Who does she think she is, anyway?
Dennis, I told you Mary's in Palm Springs. Now, will you please forget it?
Okay.
Oh, say, Jack, before you tell me about the play tonight, do you mind if I talk to you about a very delicate subject?
Delicate subject? What is it, Don?
The quartet is here, ready to do the commercial.
Don, look, Don, I want to talk to you a minute. Not in anger. Look, kid. Look, Don, just a nice, friendly chat. Sit down. Sit down, Don.
Well, there isn't any chair here.
Well, sit on the quartet. Go ahead. Get up. You're hurting us. Now, Don, let's get one thing straight. The quartet is through. Finished.
Listen, Jack, give them one more chance, and if you don't like what they've prepared for today, I'll never bother you again.
Don, look.
Come on, boys. Il Trovatore.
I don't want Il Trovatore.
Hear that applause, Jack? They were sensational.
Don, I don't care if they applaud all night. Opera has no place on this program.
All right, Jack, then listen to this.
Don, I've
Take it, boys. Holiday for Strange.
Don. Don. Don, I've had enough. I can't stand it any longer. Where's that contract? Here it is. There. That settles that.
Ah, Jack, I don't blame you if you feel that way about the quartet. That's the best thing to do. Tear up the contract.
Their contract? That was yours.
What?
Hey, Dennis, I guess that'll hold him for a while.
Yeah.
was "For You, For Me, Forevermore," sung by Dennis Day. Very good, Dennis.
Hello, Mary.
What was that?
I'm giving her one more chance.
Oh, go sit down.
Okay.
Tonight, for our... Not on the quartet. Find a chair. I wish Mary was here and I was in Palm Springs. And now...
I wouldn't say hello to you either.
Oh, quiet. And now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, as our feature attraction, we're going to do our version of Mark Hellinger's thrilling, exciting, Universal International picture, the famous Hemingway story, The Killers.
This is the story of two gunmen who walk into a little lunchroom looking for a guy called the Swede. It's midnight, and the lunchroom is deserted, except for one lonely customer.
Well, I think I'll have a bite to eat and then go home.
Yeah, I wish I could close up and go home myself. This place is quieter than a coal mine. Kind of a dreary night, too.
Yeah. Say, Charlie, don't the Swede usually drop in about this time?
Yeah, hasn't been in now for 2 or 3 weeks. Understand he's sick in bed.
Oh, a Democrat, huh?
Yeah. I miss him, too. Used to stay here for hours. Just sitting by the jukebox, listening to the Missouri Waltz. Now, what do you have to eat?
Oh, I don't know.
How would you like some squaw baked in wine?
Nah. You got any ham hock stewed in bourbon?
Nah, we're all out of ham hocks.
Good, just bring me the juice.
Okay. Say, Curly, next week when you come here, you won't know this joint. It's going to be real ritzy. New curtains and drapes and rugs on the floor. Nice new lampshades and everything. This lunchroom is going to be beautiful.
Well, it's about time. This joint looks like the sweat band out of the Brown Derby.
Well, don't worry. I'm going to fix everything. In fact, I've already hired the interior decorator. Say, Curly, hurry up and finish eating, will you? It's such a nasty night. I want to close up and go home.
I'll be through in a minute. How about a napkin?
Use the drapes. I'm getting new ones. Yes, sir, I can just see the way this place is gonna...
What's the matter, Charlie?
Look out the window. Two guys just stepped off the curb and are crossing the street. I never seen them before.
Yeah. They look kind of tough. Hey, I'm getting out of here.
No, don't go. I don't want to be here alone. One of them guys, it looks like Edward G. Robinson. Hey, look, they're coming this way. Yeah. What'll it be, gentlemen? Gentlemen, what'll it be?
What are you shaking for, Blue Eyes? It ain't cold in here.
I'm getting ready to close up, gentlemen, so if you want something to eat, you better order it.
Hey, Slugger.
What is it, Eddie?
Blue Eyes is in a hurry. Maybe we ought to slow him down.
Yeah, down.
Now, look, gentlemen, I don't want no trouble. What'll you have? You can have some ham and eggs or some corned beef hash. Or a mixed green salad. Ouch!
I don't like salad.
Now, look, mister, I want to close up this joint, so you better order and get out of here, because if you don't, I'll call the police.
Well, did you hear that, slugger? Blue Eyes is going to call the police.
Yes, I am.
Well, one move out of you, and I'll fill you so full of holes you look like a chisswee sandwich.
That Swiss cheese.
Don't tell me how to get a laugh.
What?
It amuses Slugger.
Yes.
Now, see here, mister. I want to ask you a question. Would you fellas...
Now, look, bright boy, I ask the questions around here, see? You just answer them and do as I tell you, see? If not, you'll get hurt, see? Now, get me something to eat, see?
And be quick about it, look.
Look?
Where?
Oh, shut up.
Now, wait a minute. I don't have to stand for this. I'm a citizen. I pay my taxes. I got my rights, and you can't come in here and push me around.
No, we can't, huh?
No, you... Wait a minute. What are you reaching your back pocket for?
Just my handkerchief.
Your handkerchief?
Yeah.
You must have a bad cold.
Yeah. I just took those shots for it.
Keep that up and you'll be another Bill Harris.
Now look, will you fellas put... Wait a minute. Now I know who you guys are. You're the killers. You're looking for the Swede.
You hear that, slugger? Bright boy thinks we're looking for the Swede.
Well, ain't we been looking for no Swede?
No. Now, bright boy, we ain't looking for no Swede. We came in here to talk to you.
Me?
Yeah, you. We heard you're going to get this dump redecorated.
Yes, I am, but what's that got to do with you?
Well, we want to know something.
What?
Who are you getting your chintz from?
Chintz?
Yeah. And a silk lining for your drapes.
I'm not going to have them lined.
Ha, ha, ha. You hear that? Now, listen, bright boy. You're going to have drapes, and you're going to have them lined. You're getting them from us, see?
I can't get them from you. I'm buying all my curtains and drapes from Johnson & Company. Right on the corner.
Johnson ain't there anymore.
You mean to say that... What's that?
Johnson, he just passed by.
Gee, rumors are flying, and so is Johnson.
You guys can't frighten me. I'm buying my curtains, drapes, and chintz from anybody I like, see? And that gun in your hand ain't scaring me either, see? I don't even think you can shoot straight.
No, I can't, huh? See that row of plates up there?
Yeah.
Well, watch this. And the plate next to it. And the plate on the other side.
Ha ha! You missed!
I put a curve on that one.
Yeah, well, I'm not afraid of you now. You took three shots before and three shots now. You're out of bullets.
No, I ain't, bright boy. This is an ever-sharp gun. It's got a six-month supply of lead.
I should have known with that deep pocket clip. Hey, you know, the gun I have only shoots six times. Look. Here, I'll show you. See?
Hey, that's a pretty nice gun you got there.
You're darn right it is. Now, come on now. Up with your hands, both of you.
Oh, you want to shoot it out, huh? Well, take that.
Ha, ha, ha. You missed me twice. Now, you take this.
Oh! Oh, you got me, slugger. You got me. I'm dying, slugger. I knew the day would come. I knew I couldn't get away with it. Everything's getting dark. I can't see. I'm dying, slugger. They finally got me. Me, little Caesar. Goodbye, slugger. I'm dying. I'm dying.
dying.
Well, fall down, you big ham.
Maybe this will help.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Edward G. Robinson for appearing with us tonight through the courtesy of the Thalia Productions, producers of that soon-to-be-released picture, The Red House. We'll be with you next Sunday at the same time. Good night, Mary.
Good night, Mary.
Good night, Herman.
Herman?
I'm mad at Mary.
Oh, yes, yes, I forgot. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
There you have Jack Benny from 1946 with Edward G. Robinson. And you're in tune with Radio Vault. We have on tap in just a moment the Greg Gildersleeve. Really great, great Gildersleeve. And we will get to that momentarily. In the meantime, this is Must Hear Radio here on WHFR.
I think you need a reset. Time to reflect on the week you've had and prepare for the rest of the week to come. A few hours to tune out and focus on calming the soul. If that sounds like your jam, tune in to Midweek Midnights every Wednesday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. right here on WHFR Radio. Join me, your host, Radio K, in showcasing both new and old shoegaze, indie alternative, and dreamy ambient space music that takes over the airwaves, ready to drift you into your happy place. So tune in this Wednesday and hop on the Midweek Midnight Spaceship. You won't want to miss your ride.
Get in, loser. We're going shopping.
Henry Ford College is a proud participant in the Detroit Promise Scholarship. It's a last dollar scholarship that covers any funding gap, so students can have a tuition-free path to an associate's degree, bachelor's degree, or technical certificate. If you have lived in and attended a high school in Detroit for your junior and senior year, as well as completing your free application for federal student aid, you're eligible. To become a Detroit Promise student at HFC today, visit their website at DetroitPromise.com.
Every 36 seconds, a vehicle is stolen in the United States. You have the power to protect your car. Remove your valuables, roll up your windows completely, and always lock your doors and take your keys or fob. If you know something about a vehicle theft, call us at 1-800-TELL-NICB.
All right. We'll definitely do that. You are listening to Radio Vault on WHFR 89.3, of course. Station making the waves. Now, The Great Gildersleeve was one of those shows that was actually a spinoff from Fibber McGee and Molly. Gildersleeve was originally Fibber and Molly's neighbor. Then he moved somewhere else and became a water commissioner, of all things. Well, you must have put that voodoo on me. Now, The Great Gildersleeve was originally played by Harold Perry, who is also the guy who was the Faygo. You know, remember when you were a kid commercial years ago? That was Harold Perry, but he was best known for his role as the Greg Gildersleeve. Well, somewhere along the way, they decided they needed to move the show. And Harold didn't want to move with the show, so they got this guy, who's a virtual sound-alike, by the name of Willard Waterman. And he played the role until the end of the radio show. And he also played on the TV show, The Greg Gildersleeve. So let us go back to one of the later shows from 1953. This is The Greg Gildersleeve with Willard Waterman and Walter Tetley as Leroy. Walter Tetley was actually an adult actor who played a kid. He had a hormone problem, so his voice never changed. That was Walter Tetley. Let's listen now to The Greg Gildersleeve from March 18, 1953.
Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, partially transcribed, by the Kraft Foods Company. Well, taking everything into consideration, the Great Gildersleeve has done quite a good job raising a family, especially for a bachelor. Now he's on his way home, satisfied he's done a good day's work, and anxious to greet the last remaining member of his little brood.
Leroy! Yeah, I wonder where that boy is. Leroy!
He ain't home, Mr. Gildersleeve!
Oh, hello, Bertie. You know where he is?
Oh, yes, sir. He's in a jam session.
Again?
Yes, sir. The minute he got home from school, he grabbed his drumsticks, two of my pie tins, and headed for across the street. Over
at Bab's house, huh?
Yes, sir, in a jam session.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'll bet Leroy hasn't even done his chores.
No, sir. He just grabbed his drumsticks, the pie tin, and lit out for the jam session.
Probably hasn't given one thought to his homework.
No, sir, just grabbed the drumsticks and the pie tins and lit out for the jam session.
He's apparently forgotten to come home for dinner.
Well, Leroy says when you catch the beat, you forget everything. You're gone.
Right, George, I'll have to do something to bring Leroy down to earth.
He sure is in the clouds when he's with that little Miss Babs.
Yeah, I know, Bertie.
When she sits down at the piano and starts rattling them keys and fluttering them eyelids, that boy's gone. He's gone. I mean gone.
Well, Bertie, I'm gone, too.
You are?
After Leroy. Babs is a pretty little girl. But if I don't call a halt to this bebop business, first thing I know, Leroy will be wearing a beret and a goatee. Listen to that. Sounds like somebody threw a music box into a cement mixer. Well, I'll take care of this. Oh, for they can't even hear the doorbell. Leroy, break it up! Imagine the nephew of a man who sent his daughter to the Metropolitan Opera making noises like that.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Hello, Babs. I take it Leroy's here.
Uh-huh. We're having a dreamy session. Come on in.
Well, it's just about time for Leroy's session with the roast beef.
Hi, Unc.
Leroy, it's time for dinner.
Man, how can I stop? I gotta keep moving. I gotta grow.
Babs, do you think you should be doing that to such a good piano?
Unc, you ought to hear Babs sing.
Yeah, well, some
Come
other
on,
time.
Come on, Babs, take off with those crazy words.
Yeah, but Leroy,
Barky boy is at the Chattanooga choo-choo.
Yeah, Babs, you don't have to do it.
Track 29.
Boy,
you can give me a shot.
That's cool, man.
I can afford to board the Chattanooga choo-choo. I've got my fare. And just a trifle to spare.
Yeah, well, that's very nice, but...
You'll leave the Pennsylvania Station about 3:45. Yeah. Read a magazine and then you're in Baltimore. Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina. When you hear the whistle blow an eight to the bar, then you know the Tennessee is not very far. Shovel all the coal in, got to keep it rolling. Woo-woo, Chattanooga, there you are. Woo-woo, Chattanooga, there you are. Dig that crush, Unc.
Dig it? Oh, yeah, yes. Very good, Babs.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve. I really worked hard to make good.
Oh?
I spend most of my time training for my career.
Yeah, me too.
Your careers?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a singing star, and Leroy's going to be my drummer.
Yeah, come on, Babs. I got to keep moving.
Leroy!
Okay.
Yeah, we have to go. Let's not forget our little duties and chores. There's the homework.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, that sounds so dull.
Yeah, Unc, we got our careers to think about. I'm going to be the best skin man in the business.
Oh.
We're going to work up an act and take it on the road.
Leroy, you're going to hit the road right now.
But, Unc.
Young man, pick up your sticks and beat it across the street.
Oh, for corn's sake.
What's gotten into Leroy? He took his drumsticks to bed with him. Beating time on the bedposts. Wish I'd known that's what it was before I got up in the middle of the night to see who was knocking on the door. Oh, well. It's the Babs influence. Say, Peavy has kites in the window. Hello, Peavy.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this morning?
Peavy, I see you've changed your window display.
Well, the window's breaking up, so I took out the hot water bottles and put in kites.
Now all you need to push sales is a big win.
Care to volunteer, Mr. Gildersleeve?
All right, Peavy.
Leroy was in this morning for some adhesive tape.
Adhesive tape?
Seems he got a blister from twirling his drumsticks.
That boy. I have a little problem there, Peavy.
You don't say.
Babs has him spending too much of his time in jam sessions. Leroy's even talking about going on the road, making it a career.
My, my.
Peavy, I don't like the idea of the boy ending up a grasshopper with a snare drum.
Well, I doubt if a grasshopper could do what Leroy did here the other day.
Oh?
He lined up a row of water glasses and tapped out quite a tune. Reminded me of a fellow who used to come in the store and sit all day drinking cherry phosphates and playing the sweet potatoes.
Well, that was an ocarina, Petey.
And that's what the squares call it.
Yes, yes.
He figured he was going to set the world on fire with that sweet potato.
What's he doing now?
I think he's digging them in Oklahoma.
Well, I don't doubt it. I wish I could convince Leroy he's wasting his time.
Yeah, Babs is a pretty little girl.
Yeah, I know that. You'll have to admit she's a little flighty. Now, if I were Leroy, I'd pick some girl a little more serious-minded. Well, I would. You take little Clara Pettibone, for instance. She comes from a cultural-type family.
Yes, she does. Mrs. Pettibone always has her picture on the society page.
And Clara likes Leroy. She always sends him a valentine. And she invited him to her cello recital at the women's club last month. Leroy wouldn't go.
I don't blame him.
Now, Peavy, that's exactly what Leroy needs. Exposure to the finer things. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree.
Yeah, you just have to be sure you're bending the twig in the right direction.
Well, I know what's best for Leroy. By George, I'm going to maneuver it so Leroy spends more time with Clara Pettibone.
Well, it's not too easy to pick someone else's friends for them.
Well, once Leroy has had a chance to compare the two girls, I'm sure he'll choose wisely, the way I've always done. I've been pretty smart about picking my feminine companions.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Gosh, Uncle, it was nice
nice of you to pick me up after school.
Happy to do it, my boy.
Where are we going?
Well, I have to run by Mrs. Pettibones to see about her water bill.
Do I have to go? I'm supposed to meet Babs.
Oh, Babs can wait, Leroy. Come along.
Do I have to go in?
You don't want to sit out here alone and be unsociable.
Yes, I do.
But Mrs. Pettibone hasn't seen you for a long time.
She never sees me anyway. She has her nose so high in the air.
Leroy, out of the car.
Okay, gosh.
And brush the hair out of your eyes and shake the dust off your blue jeans.
Just to watch you and Mrs. Pettibone haggle over a water bill?
Who knows? You might see little Clara.
Oh, for corn's sake.
Leroy, Clara is a very attractive young lady.
Yeah, but she's such a king-size square.
Leroy.
What's that? Who's moaning?
Well, sounds like music to me.
That's music?
It's probably little Clara practicing one of the classics on her cello. I hate to ring the doorbell and interrupt that music.
Ring it! Let's get this over with.
Yeah, listen to that. Even Mrs. Pettibone's door chimes have class. Well, hello, Clara.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gildersleeve. Hello, Leroy.
Hi.
Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you. But we can't stay long.
No, we can't.
I just wanted to see your mother about the water bill.
But when you phoned, I told you mother wouldn't be home all afternoon.
Oh, is that what you said? I guess I didn't get the message straight.
Well, you're straight now. Let's go.
Does Leroy have to go? I was just practicing on my cello.
Yeah, I have to go.
Well, you don't have to rush off, my boy. You can stay a while.
Why don't you, Leroy?
Well, gosh, I got things to do at home.
Oh, Leroy, what have you to do that's so important?
Oh, I got to walk the dog, water the dog, feed the dog.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think Leroy likes me, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Why, of course he does. Don't you, Leroy?
Sure.
But he never comes to my parties, and he didn't come to my recital.
Well, gosh,
I don't think Leroy's very fond of the cello.
Oh, it isn't that, Clara. Leroy's just a little shy. He has to be pushed.
I think I'm being shoved.
If you'll stay a while, Leroy, we can play some records.
Yeah? Who you got, Stan Kenton?
No, but I have something very exciting by Stravinsky.
Oh, brother. Well, like I say, I gotta feed the dog, water the dog.
Perhaps we'd better go, Clara, and let you get back to your cello practice. But why don't you come over and see Leroy Saturday afternoon?
Saturday?
Well,
wouldn't you like, Clara, to come over Saturday, Leroy?
Yeah, sure.
Good. Then it's all set.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I usually practice Saturday afternoon.
Yeah? Too bad, Clara. Some other time, huh, Clara?
Now, wait a minute. Clara, why can't you come and bring your cello?
I could do that.
Oh, I've been framed!
The Great Gildersleeve will return in just a moment. Well, when the Great Gildersleeve comes up against a difficult situation, he usually finds a way to cope with it. When it seemed Leroy was wasting his time in bebop jam sessions with Babs, he decided to expose his nephew to a more dignified type of music and culture.
What do you think of an uncle that'll put you in a spot like that, Bertie?
You mean she's coming over here Saturday and bringing that cello?
Yeah. I'll invite her and I'll be stuck with her all afternoon.
It isn't as bad as he makes it sound, Bertie. Little Clara is just like her mother.
Yes, sir.
And you know how she's respected. Everybody in town takes off his hat to Mrs. Pettibone.
Made better or she'd knock it off with her parasol.
Leroy, you don't realize what a nice thing I'm doing for you. What's this?
Unc, you know you'd never spend an afternoon listening to some girl saw away on the cello.
My boy, when I was growing up, I didn't have an opportunity.
Some guys have all the luck.
And I've regretted it. My musical knowledge consists pretty much of singing with the Jolly Boys.
Gosh, a whole afternoon with Clara. What do we talk about?
Talk about symphonies.
I don't know anything about symphonies.
Well, if you run out of things to talk about, ask Clara to play the cello.
I'll think of something to talk about.
Believe me, Leroy, you'll come out of this experience a much richer person.
You mean you're going to pay me?
No. Now, let's not discuss it any further. You just see that Clara has a pleasant afternoon. And if it'll make you feel any better, I'll sit around with you. Now, that's fair, isn't it, Bertie?
Yes, sir. Mr. Gildersleeve, you sure have changed.
You watch this.
A while back, you were singing barbershop with the Jolly Boys. Now you go long hair.
Yeah, maybe I have.
Yes, a while back, Mr. Gildersleeve was strictly barbershop. Now I've gone long hair.
Yeah, all right, Bertie.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you know where you gone?
Yes, Bertie.
That's right. Instead of barbershop, you gone long hair.
Bertie, the parlor looks nice.
Thank you, sir.
Did you dust off the piano keys?
I thought little Clara Pettibone played one of them big fiddles.
Cello, Bertie. She might want to tune it with the piano.
Yes, sir.
And are all the little refreshments ready?
Yes, sir. I have cocoa and ladyfinger sandwiches.
Well, ladyfinger sandwiches sound just about right. I want to run this off like a regular musicale.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm doing my best to make everything stuffy.
No, Bertie. Hey, by the way, Clara's due any minute. Where's Leroy?
I ain't seen him since he put on his blue suit, and he sure looked blue.
Well, blue or not, I'm glad he's dressed up. I want Clara to take home a nice impression to Mrs. Pettibone.
Yes, sir.
Where is that boy? Leroy! Leroy!
Let me try. Leroy!
Bertie.
If that didn't get him, he ain't here.
Yeah. I wonder if that boy is taking his drumsticks over to Babs' house.
No, see, his drumsticks are right here on the piano.
Say, isn't that the Pettibone limousine pulling up in front of the house?
Yes, sir. And look at that chauffeur. Ain't he something?
Yeah.
I wonder if he gets that big car on his night off.
Bertie, let's not speculate.
No, sir.
You go bring in the cello, will you, Bertie, while I put on my coat?
Yeah.
Yeah, guess I'll have to entertain Clara until Leroy shows up. That boy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Clara, come right in.
Thank you.
Why, you look very pretty this afternoon. Nice bow you have in your hair.
Oh, Mother likes me to wear them.
Well, Mother's know best. Especially Mrs. Pettibone.
Where do you want the cello, Miss Pettibone?
Well...
Yeah, just put it over there by the piano, Bertie.
Yes, sir.
Come into the parlor, Clara.
Thank you. Where's Leroy?
Leroy doesn't seem to be around at the moment. Shall we sit down and talk until he comes?
Oh, I'm delighted to sit down and relax. I've been working with Grieg all morning.
Oh, is he your cello professor?
Grieg sonata, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, him. Very talented sonata man. Hey, where is that boy?
He happens to be Mother's favorite, but I personally prefer Tchaikovsky. I think his Symphonie Pathétique is divine.
Oh, me too. He did a good job on a Symphonie Pathétique on that one. Clara, I want to compliment you on your musical ability. It's quite an accomplishment, a young girl like you playing a big instrument like the cello.
You're nice to say that, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I feel so inferior when I think of Wolfgang Mozart.
You have. Don't we all?
Imagine composing at the age of 4.
Yeah, few children are in school at that age.
And can you imagine touring in clavichord recitals at 7?
Well, old Mozart didn't let any grass grow under his feet. Yeah, I'll have to remind Leroy of Mozart. He'd like to get my hands on that boy.
Tell me frankly, Mr. Gildersleeve, does Mozart's Die Zauberflöte do anything for you?
For me? Well, the way I feel about that, excuse me. Bertie?
Yes, sir?
Have you seen anything of Leroy?
No, sir, he ain't showed.
Don't worry about me, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'm enjoying myself.
Oh, so am I. I just hate for Leroy to miss this.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, tell me about yourself. I imagine you've had a simply fascinating musical background.
Well, like you said, Mozart makes me feel like pretty small potatoes. Hey, why don't you play something on the cello? Here, I'll open the case for you.
Well, I suppose I may as well. Mother said I simply had to practice another 2 hours today.
Well, now's a good time to do it. There you are.
Thank you.
Yes, the cello's quite an instrument. Nice tone.
This is an exercise Mother says I simply have to master. I hope you won't consider it dull.
Oh, no. If I'm right in forcing this on Leroy.
Excuse me, Mr.
Gildersleeve. Oh, yes, Bertie.
Can I see you for a minute?
Yeah, go right ahead, Clara, while I see what Bertie wants. Yes, Bertie?
You ready for the lady fingers?
Oh, not yet, Bertie.
Okay, it's all you's in trouble. Just trying to help you out.
Yeah, just a minute, Bertie.
Yes, sir?
You go listen to the cello.
Me?
I'm going out and find Leroy.
Now, why didn't I stay in that kitchen?
Well, I just had to get out of the house. I don't blame Leroy too much for not showing up. But I've got to find him. He wasn't at Babs' place. Yeah, I'll try Peavy's. Hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Peavy, have you seen anything of Leroy this afternoon?
Yes, he was in here just a little while ago.
He was? Which way did he go?
He went that way.
Oh, my goodness. Peavy, this is important. Did he say where he was going?
No, he and Babs had their faces stuck in a soda.
Oh, so Babs is with him. Peavy, he's supposed to be home this afternoon. Little Clara Pettibone came over and brought her cello.
You don't say.
Leroy shouldn't do a thing like this. How can I explain this to Mrs. Pettibone? She'll be offended.
Yes, I suspect she will.
And that poor Clara. She'll be embarrassed, having Leroy ignore her and go off with some other girl. I've got to find that boy.
Yes, you can't help feeling sorry for Clara.
Yes, yeah, she seems to have nothing in common with children her own age. And she's too intelligent to talk to adults.
Excuse me while I answer the phone.
Yeah, go ahead. I have to be on my way anyway.
Peavy's Pharmacy? Yes? Oh, just a minute. Mr. Gildersleeve?
You what?
It's for you, Bertie.
Oh? Yes, Bertie?
Mr. Gildersleeve, Leroy's home.
Well, fine.
I'm not so sure. Babs is with him.
Uh-oh.
She's at the piano, and Leroy's got his drumsticks using Miss Pettibone's cello for a snare drum.
Zip. What's Clara doing?
She ain't fainted yet, but I'm standing by.
Well, hold the fort, Bertie. I'll be right home. Confound it. I invite Clara over, and Leroy and Babs start a jam session. This is adding insult to injury. When Clara tells her mother about this, Mrs. Pettibone will have me run out of town. Oh, just listen to that. Sounds like a bunch of Indians on the warpath. Well, I'll put a stop to this.
Is that you, Miss Gildersleeve?
Yes, Bertie, I'll take charge now.
That Miss Clara's already taking charge.
What?
Come on in and watch that girl slap that cello.
Slap the cello?
That's cool, Clara, and I'll take the break.
Yeah, go home.
Hey, not bad.
No, sir.
Hey, here
you go. Clara, well, what's going on?
Join in, Mr. Gildersleeve. We're blowing up a storm.
No, go right ahead. Bertie. It's not the kind of storm I thought it was going to be.
No, sir. They're all getting along fine.
Yeah. What a crazy way to make friends.
The Great Gildersleeve will be right back.
Mr. Gildersleeve, that was a fine musical.
Yes, Bertie, the kids had a good time. And Leroy didn't seem to mind at all getting back to his homework.
Yes, sir, after they blew up that storm, I guess they were ready for a little calm weather.
Well, I'm not going to worry anymore about Leroy. Yeah, I think I'll let him sit up tomorrow night and listen to the Academy Awards broadcast on NBC.
Yes, sir. Didn't that little Clara Pettibone have fun today?
Clara had the time of her life. But I wonder how her mother took it. Mrs. Pettibone's been very careful about Clara's musical education.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think I'll phone and see if I can smooth out the situation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I really should apologize to Mrs. Pettibone anyway, because it happened at my house. Yeah. I'll bet that old biddy has read the riot act to poor little Clara.
Hello?
Clara, this is Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, yes, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Is that your cello, I hear?
Yes, it is.
Well, how can you answer the phone and play boogie on the cello at the same time?
Oh, that's Mother.
Mrs. Pettibone slapping the cello?
I just taught her how. She thinks it's real fab.
Oh, my goodness. Good night, folks.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White. He's partially transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Lillian Randolph, Barbara Whiting, Ann Whitfield, and Dick LeGrand. Musical compositions by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next week and every week for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve. Tonight, play You Bet Your Life on NBC.
And you are listening to WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. We're in the midst of Radio Vault, and we have got, what do we have? What do we have on tap? We've got a pair of episodes from Fibber McGee and Molly here on WHFR Dearborn.
Join me, BC, host of The Other Side, every Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m. You'll hear great alternative, independent, and local rock and roll, mixed in with deep cuts from classic artists. I hope to see you on The Other Side this Tuesday at 1 p.m., only on WHFR Dearborn, the station that is making waves.
You ought to be on stage. You're such a drama queen. Don't be so dramatic. Have you ever heard comments like these directed to you? If so, then Henry Ford College 2-year degree in theater arts is for you. And by the time you finish, you can continue your degree at a 4-year college. Explore your creative side, performing, directing, or in technical design. We offer more theater classes than any 2-year college in Michigan, plus 4 productions a year. For more information, visit the Henry Ford College website, hfcc.edu.
The Johnson Wax Program, presenting Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly. Thank you. Jimmy Greer and his orchestra open the show with Dreamy Eyes. Vacation bug has bitten the McGees, and they've rented a cottage from a real estate agent, sight unseen. And here, driving along in the heart of the deep, dark forest, in search of this backwoods paradise, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Gotta get them brakes fixed.
Well, which way do we go now? Can't we drive up to the cottage?
No, don't you remember what the salesman says? He says there'd be a short but delightful jaunt through the fine-scented woods to reach the quiet solitude of lovely Bidawee Cottage.
I know, but you'll remember he says he'd never seen the place himself. All he knew was what other people had said about it.
Sure, and the last people who had this here Bidawee Cottage says they'd never think of going anyplace else for a summer vacation.
I've been thinking that over, too. Well, I hope we'll be alone up here.
Why?
Oh, I love to go out and walk around in my bathing suit.
You do, huh? I knew it was pretty big, but I didn't know you could walk around in it. Don't you get it, Molly? I
said... Ain't funny, McGee.
Okay. Okay. Looked pretty funny to me when I was packing it. Well, come on, let's go.
Say, I wonder if it's safe to leave the car here.
Oh, I think so. The most anybody can do is steal the tires. And this one on the left rear here is...
You kicked it too hard, dearie.
Yeah.
Well, come on, you take the box of groceries and the camera and the suitcase, and I'll carry the pillows and the magazines and my knitting bag.
Well, how about my fishing tackle and stuff?
You can carry that, too.
Oh, yeah? Shall I run home and get the piano? Here, put this can with the groceries.
What's in it? It don't seem hit. Oh, worms.
Why, certainly worms. What'd you think I was going to use for bait? French pastry?
Heavenly days, you and your fishing.
Don't scoff at my fishing, madam. I used to be the champion fin finagler of Pittsburgh. Pole Toter McGee, I was known as in them days.
Oh, my.
Pole Toter McGee, the peak of piscatorial perfection, persistently pursuing pike, pickerel, and pretty perch from pool to pool, and paddling through every possible puddle and pond from Puxatawney to Pittsburgh.
Well, I hope we don't have to walk very far. It's getting pretty late.
Oh, this is just the time of the afternoon, Molly, when it's nice to hike through the woods, to see the gay little butterflies flitting hither and thither among the hither, to hear the melodious twitter of the Bob White. Did you ever hear me imitate a Bob White?
No, but I've heard you make a cuckoo out of yourself many times.
Now, listen. I'll see if I can get a Bob White to answer me.
Hello there.
Hello. Who are you?
Bob White. Who are you?
Fibber McGee. How are you, Bob?
Well, Fibber, be seeing you.
You see, Molly?
Is Jenny Wren a friend of yours, too? Come on, gather up the stuff. Which way do we go? This path goes two ways.
The salesman says to turn left off the highway.
But that was if we came in from the north. We came in from the south.
Let me see. Coming in this way, left. That way is... No, it's south. Well, that way's north, ain't it?
No, that way's north.
Why, it can't be, Molly. Look at the moss on them trees.
Very pretty, but what about it?
Why, shucks, every woodsman knows that the moss always grows on the east side of a tree. Therefore, if we face the moss, south is to the left.
To the right.
Okay, let's go straight ahead.
What a place. Don't look like there'd been anybody through here for years and years.
Well, the salesman says it was away from everything. He says, hey, there's a fella sitting on a log over there. We can ask him where. Hi there, bud.
How do you do, sir? Will you please tell us what... Well, heavenly days, it's more too.
Hello, folks.
What are you doing up here in the woods, Mort?
I'm a hermit.
Oh, a hermit, eh?
Yeah. Thought I'd get away from everybody for a while and think up some new jokes. I bought up a few pipperinos, too. Want to hear some?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, come on. They're Lulus. For instance, one fella says, get a load of this now. I see where Bing Crosby's got himself a couple of racehorses and a jockey. Sure, says the other fella. He gives the jockey a pair of Paramount's contracts. Oh, boy. Did I muff that one? That's one of my topical ones. That's the reason I slipped on it.
I'd say it was one of your typical ones. So you decided to be a hermit and practice your jokes in solitude.
Sure. Used to rehearse my jokes out behind the woodpile. Say, I thought that kindling had split. You catch on to it?
Well, I think being a hermit is your right vocation, Mort.
Yeah, and the cheapest vocation I ever took.
Oh, my.
Was that a nifty? Well, if you pass by here next spring, stop and holler. I'll be a-setting here. I'm a hermit. Bump daddy ada.
Any farther without taking a rest. We'll be walking around here all night if we don't find that cottage pretty soon.
Don't worry about it, Molly. I've been making some mental calculations.
All right, where are we?
Well, now look. From the way the leaves point on them oak trees and the way the birds fly kind of sideways, I figure there's about a 5-mile wind blowing.
Yes.
Now, presuming the birds are flying north, that gives us a 2-degree variation from the magnetic pole. You see how it works out if you just use your head?
Yeah, but where are we?
Well, I don't exactly know, but I...
Hello there, partners. Nice evening, ain't it?
Oh, you startled me, sir. How do you do?
Hi, Slim. Can you tell us where the Bide-a-wee cottage is?
Nay. Yeah.
Bide-a-wee. Bide-a-wee.
Bite to eat? Don't mind if I do.
No. Not a bite to eat. The Bide-a-wee. It's a cottage. Oh, let's go find it ourselves, dearie.
Oh, wait a minute, Mom. How's fishing around here, bud? Fish biting on flies?
Nope.
Worms, eh?
Nope.
What do? Cast?
Nope.
Don't tell me they ain't biting on something.
Ain't biting on nothing.
Why not?
Ain't no fish.
You mean to say there's no fish in the rivers around here?
Ain't no river. She's a creek.
Well, why didn't you say so? How's the fishing in the creek?
Ain't none.
No fish?
No creek. She dried up last year.
Thank you anyway, mister. We have to be going.
Yes. Oh, yes. Got some sewing to do myself. Tore my britches coming through the brass. Well, so long, folks.
So long.
Hope you find your dog.
Who said anything about a dog?
You think you can carry that pack a little farther, Molly?
I think so.
Can you carry mine, too, so
what?
I can scout around a little and see?
Don't you dare go away and leave me alone in these woods.
Okay, let's walk on. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the cottage was around a turn in the trail here someplace. Listen, meadowlark.
What's a meadowlark doing in the woods? He must be lost, too. Oh, look, McGee, here comes somebody else.
Well, must have been a convention around here someplace.
Oh, heavenly days, it's a little girl. She must be lost.
Oh, I'll find out. Hi there, little girl.
Hi.
You acquainted around here?
With who?
I don't mean the people, I mean the locality.
Hmm?
I said, listen, sis.
Okay.
Listen.
All right.
Say, will you be quiet?
Sure.
That's gratitude. Do you know a cottage called the Bide a Wee?
No, do you?
Well, of course. Well, naturally, what the... I says, of course I don't. Do you think I'd inquire where it was if I knew?
Knew what?
Knew where it was.
What?
The buck. Oh, Dad, read it. Skip it.
Oh, you mean skip the cottage name by the way that you don't know where it is?
No, I mean yes. Forget I ever asked about it.
Okay, I'll try.
Say, you ain't lost in the woods here, are you, sis?
No, I'm playing Indian, I betcha.
Oh, yeah, huh? She's playing Indian, Molly. You ain't going to scalp us, are you, sis?
Hmm?
I says you ain't going to scalp us, are you?
No. I'm portraying the more civilized type of redskin who refuses to indulge in such barbaric practices, I betcha. Goodbye now.
From the picture, The Hit Parade, Tommy Harris sings,
Sweet heartache, an ache without any pain. I'm like a ship in a gale, without any sail, oh. I've got trouble with my foolish heart. It has me worried now and then. It must be romance again. Trouble caused by Mr. Cupid's dart. I recognize this feeling that has my senses reeling. Sweet heartache, an ache without any pain. I'm glad you're back. Sweet heartache, and I'm in love again. Sweet kisses from lips as eager as mine will add to my sweet heartache and make it more divine. Why is it every time I look at you I shake and tremble, for I resemble a ship in a gale without any sail. Sweet heartache, you're sent from heaven above. I'll gladly stand this heartache. It means that I've found love.
Hey, Molly, slow down. What's the hurry?
Well, we got to find that cottage before long, dearie. It's going to be dark soon.
Well, suppose I run on ahead and light a light in the cottage, and then you'll be able to find it easy.
How'll you find it?
Well, there's that, too, I guess. Oh, here comes a feller. I'll ask him. Oh, it's an Indian. Hi, Chief.
How do?
How do?
How do we find our cottage, Chief? The bite of we.
Me no know. You lost?
Sure, me lost. Where are we?
How me know? Me lost, too.
Heavenly days, an Indian lost?
Sure. No can find teepee.
Oh, he must have rented it from the same agent we did. What tribe you from, sir?
Lost tribe. Lost tribe Israel. Oy, 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 where is mine to pay?
You mean teepee, don't you?
No, mine to pay. I was scalped last night.
Well, if I thought I could find my way back to the car, McGee, I'd leave this minute. The idea of renting us a cottage we can't even find.
Yeah, next time I see that rental agent, it'll be his finish.
Oh, hello, folks.
Heavenly days, Mr. Wilcox. What are you doing up here in the woods?
Oh, I've got a place up here.
Oh, you have a place, huh? Uh-huh. Well, that's a relief.
Why?
Well, I was saying to Molly just the other night, I said, Molly, I says, do you think there'll ever be a place for Harpo? And she says, well, I...
Quiet, don't... McGee. What kind of a place have you got, Mr. Wilcox?
Well, you see, I...
What's the matter with him, McGee?
He's lost his place.
Well, say, what are you two doing up here?
Well, we're looking for our cottage, the Bide a Wee.
Which one?
What do you mean, which one?
Well, all the cottages around here are named either the Bide a Wee or the Dew Drop Inn.
Yeah?
There was one guy last year, though, who changed the name of his place to Shady Rest. But we threw him out, the radical.
Well, I guess we don't get any help from you, Harpo, as usual.
Say, I know where there's a swell trout stream.
Honest, where?
I won't tell. You're mean to me. So long, Molly.
Fine sportsman. Won't even tell a guy where there's fishing.
Well, he is a sportsman, McGee. They say he plays a fine game of polo.
Well, why shouldn't he? He's played polo since he was three.
Three?
Sure. He used to sit on his kitty car and swat mothballs around with a tack hammer.
Well, be that as it may, I'm getting awfully tired of carrying all this stuff around in these woods.
Well, let me think a minute. Hey, there goes somebody. Maybe he knows what... Hey, Bud, wait a minute!
Hello, Tavarich. Hello, Babushka. What is the matter?
We're lost. Do you live around here, sir?
Sure, Babushka. I am always living in woods. I am a lumberjack.
You're a what, Vodka?
I am a lumberjack. I'm cutting down trees for lumber.
Oh, a lumberjack.
Da.
Well, listen, Vodka. We rented a cottage up around here someplace, and we can't find it. The name is the Bide a Wee.
Bide a Wee. All cottages up here is by the weeds, Tavarich. Weeds is growing faster than trees is coming high. Weeds is growing so big around here, I may be soon being a weedlejack, cutting down weeds.
And you don't know where our cottage would be, eh, Bud?
No, Tavarich. And for your own goodness' sake, I'm hoping you're never finding him.
Why?
Summer cottages are always full of relatives. And cottages full of relatives, it's something I am crazy about not having some.
Hey, no, no.
See, I'm getting discouraged. I simply can't walk any... Oh, there's Jimmy Greer. Hello, Jimmy. Yoo-hoo.
Hi, Jimmy. Come here a minute.
Hello, folks. What's the matter?
We've lost the cottage, Jimmy. I mean, we can't find where we are.
Well, you're getting it all balled up, Molly. You see, Jimmy, to put it into plain words, we rented a cottage that ain't here. Well, that is, it's here, but we've mislaid. I mean, we can't find where it's supposed to, and we've looked all over, and it certainly is because it can't be anyplace else. And how do we know?
What are you talking about?
Do you know where there's a cottage called the Bide a Wee, Jimmy?
No.
Well, that's settled. I see you've been fishing, Jimmy. You catch any?
Oh, I caught a number.
What number?
I know that you know.
Well, play it, Jimmy.
Thank you.
sit down under that big tree over there while and rest.
Okay. Not that I'm tired, of course, but just... Hey, Molly, there's a lake. You see it through the trees?
Oh, describe it to me. I'm too tired to look.
Well, you sit down here and rest while I take a look along the shore.
No, sir, you stay right here. I don't want to have to come and look for you, too.
Oh, shucks. Okay. Move over. Ground's nice and soft, isn't it? Kind of good to sit down at that.
What a day. We rent a cottage for a week, and it'll take us our whole vacation to find it.
Well, it can't be far away now. It's probably on that lake. It's funny the agent didn't mention that lake to us.
Yes, and I'd rather you didn't mention the agent. Sit still. Heavenly days, what are you squirming about?
Well, I'm just restless, I guess. Where's my fish hooks? Guess I must have lost them.
You put them in your hip pocket.
Oh, that's what I did with them. I thought we were sitting on an anthill. Hold it there, Grandma. Hold it. Hey, what's the idea of a woman your age whooping and hollering through the woods and banging a dad-ratted bell? Who are you, anyhow?
Who am I?
Yeah.
Why, say, son, I'm Minnie Waters, the moonshiner's daughter. Whoopee!
Moonshiner's daughter?
Absolutely, Shorty. Well, my old man runs the biggest still in these parts.
Do tell.
You must have heard the old saying about him.
No.
Water still runs deep. Woohoo!
Calm down a minute. I still don't know why you're clanging around the woods with that bell.
Well, sonny, it's like this.
Yeah?
After 50 years, I decided to try out the old man's moonshine, so I took a sip. And I've been kicking the gong around ever since. Whoopee!
Hey, listen, Grandma, we rented a cottage around here someplace, the By the Wee.
Oh, yes, the By the Wee.
Yep.
Say, that's the cottage Jack Benny stayed in last year.
It is?
It sure is, Shorty. Only he called it Why the Bee. Woohoo! Well, so long, Pantywaist. Who's got a mountain lion they want strangled? Yoo-hoo!
Imagine that old blister, Molly.
Well, at least she's enjoying herself, which is more than I am.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Molly. I'll step over to the lake and look up and down the shore. Might see the cottage over there.
Well, all right, but hurry back.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Dear, why did we ever come?
Howdy, ma'am.
Oh.
Well, you look kind of tuckered out.
I am that, sir. Me husband and I are looking for our cottage, and we can't find it. The By the Wee. You know where it is, sir?
Reckon I do, ma'am, but I'll have to row you over to it.
Well, thank goodness. McGee, come here a minute. Very kind of you, sir.
No trouble at all, ma'am. Well, we're going across the lake anyhow.
Say, you know, the agent never mentioned this lake to us.
Well, it ain't been here long.
You haven't?
I have. The lake hasn't. They just built a dam down there, and it backed up to make a lake.
Hey, Molly, you call me?
Yes, McGee. This gentleman knows where By the Wee is.
Oh.
He'll row us over to it.
Oh, well, that's fine. Much obliged, Doc.
That's okay, stranger. Carry your bundle for you, lady.
Oh, thank you.
Great. Now, you carry mine, Molly, while I fit my fishing tackle together.
Carry it yourself, Egan.
Okay, okay.
Here's the rowboat, ma'am. Watch your step.
A nice boat you have here, sir.
Best boat on the lake.
It is?
It sure is.
And to think our cottage is right near this sweet little lake.
Well, you'll have to admit I can pick 'em, Molly.
Say, where is By the Wee Cottage from here, sir?
Well, ma'am, ought to be right about in here somewhere.
In here? Are you balmy, bud? Why, this is the middle of the lake.
Sure it is. By the Wee's about 40 foot below, right under the boat.
Heavenly day.
You mean to say we rented a cottage that's 40 foot underwater? Well, give me the key to that joint, Molly.
Here, but McGee, what are you going to do?
Why, somebody went away and left the water running. I'm going to dive down and shut it off. really great out here on the coast, ain't it, Molly?
Yes, everybody's been lovely, haven't they?
How long do you suppose we'll be here in Hollywood?
Well, we ought to finish up our pictures this way, please, one of these days. Unless we have an accident like me Uncle Dennis had.
Well, what happened to Uncle Dennis? I thought he was a director for Western Pictures out here.
He was.
Yeah?
But up in the mountains the other day, you know, he was directing a picture.
Yeah?
And somebody handed him his megaphone wrong end, too. And he directed himself right over a cliff.
He did. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax at Racine, Wisconsin, and inviting you all to be with us again next Monday night at the same time. Good night.
Me and Molly have come to you from Hollywood over the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
For a great mix of avant-garde music, from the legendary innovators to a whole lot more, please join me, your host Tom Wilson, for the Space is the Place program every Friday evening from 6 until 8 p.m. right here on the station making waves, 89.3 WHFR Dearborn.
I knew there was a better career out there for me, but I couldn't afford to quit my job to get the necessary education. Thanks to Henry Ford College, I didn't have to. In just 2 years, I earned my associate's degree and was ready to start a new career in the industry I love. I work hard for myself and for my family, and I've earned the chance to advance in my job and in my life. Henry Ford gave me that chance. I'm a Henry Ford College graduate, and I'm future driven.
Henry Ford College, future driven.
The Fibber McGee and Molly Show. The Armed Forces Radio Service presents the Fibber McGee and Molly Show, a special rebroadcast for all you men and women in the Armed Forces of the United Nations, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills and the orchestra. Advertisers have invented a lot of new diseases in our time. Dishpan digits, 5 o'clock fuss-puss, and pipe smoker's gurgle, to name a few. But what a wife dreads to see dawning in her husband's eyes is what is known as tool chest gleam. That means the old boy is going to fix something. Like right now, with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Let me see. I got my wrench, my hacksaw, my hammer, my friction tape. What else do I need? Maybe a pair of pliers.
Sweetheart.
Oh, I got pliers. Folding ruler.
Darling.
Shucks, there's something missing. What is it? My crowbar? No.
McGee.
Huh?
Look, lover. Look.
We've been very happy all these years.
Yes?
I've tried to be a good wife to you. You've been a good husband to me.
Oh, sure.
We love our little home. At the risk of destroying all we've built up together, I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes?
One little question. What are you gonna fix?
I'm gonna tune the piano.
Tune the piano? McGee, no, no, please, not that.
Now, now, keep your eyebrows down, baby. Everything's under control. I'll soon have that three-legged harpsichord tunes up so sweet, you can play the Moonlight Sonata with your mittens on. Yeah.
But, McGee, you don't know anything about tuning a piano.
Oh, no?
I've told you 100 times. If it needs tuning, get Mr. Highmiller, the piano tuner.
What do you mean, if it needs tuning? Why, that jangle box has got enough flats in it to solve the housing shortage.
Well, then call Mr. Highmiller.
That's not necessary. I've watched old Highmiller tune this thing 12 times. There's nothing to it. Just turn the knob till it sounds okay. And with this pitch pipe, I can't miss.
Well, you win. Go ahead and tune the piano. We can always fill it full of dirt and plant nasturtiums in it.
You wait, Snooky. When I get through, this thing will sound sweeter than a new retread on a wet pavement. And if you don't think it needs tuning, listen to this.
Now try it without that cigar in your hand. I was wrong. Sounds better with the cigar.
I think it's full of sand, for one thing. I heard Beulah playing the desert song on it all morning. Well, I'll soon have her in shape. Wait till I take the lid off and get a gander at the insides. Oh, my gosh. No wonder.
What's the matter?
Look, here's that briefcase I lost last summer. And this piano. Why, look at it. The strings are all different lengths. Oh, boy, did we get gypped when we bought this thing.
We didn't buy it.
Didn't buy it? Where'd we get it?
You won it.
Huh?
Sure. You found out the most faces in the leaves of the tree in the advertisement. And you won the piano's first prize.
Mm-hmm. I wish now I'd taken the Shetland pony.
Well, I did at the time. We had to pay $312 express on the piano when they sent it.
Well, I'll fool them. They didn't realize they were sending this thing to a born little piano tuner. Now, let me see. Where's my pitch pipe? Ah, here. That's a perfect 440G, you see.
That's A, dearie.
What'd I say, G?
Yeah.
I meant A. Now all I gotta do is sound A on the piano and see if it's the same. Ah, wow. Is this thing off key?
You're not sounding the A.
Why, I am, too. A's the first letter in the alphabet, isn't it? I'm sounding the first note on the piano. Got to be A.
Well, you're right, it is. But I must say, you can get more right answers by the wrong methods than anyone I know.
Oh, brother. There's sure a lot of work to be done on this.
Look, McGee, are you familiar with the musical scale?
Well, Natch. Natch. Every school kid knows that. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Ah, what a musician was lost in you.
Betcha.
And I hope they never find him. What are you looking for?
Something to hold the strings apart while I tune the others. That's the way Highmiller does it. Something I can wedge it. Oh, I know. That trick can opener we got. Oh, that'll do it. Where's that can? Oh, hey, Beulah. Oh, Beulah.
Somebody ball for Beulah?
Yes, Beulah. Mr. McGee is going to tune the piano, and he needs that fancy can opener of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you being able to tune a piano. Mm-hmm. You got more talent.
Just takes a little dexterity, Beulah, and a good ear for music.
Oh, you really have that, too, dearie.
Mm-hmm.
The way you sing Don't Fence Me In makes me think immediately of barbed wire.
I come from a musical family myself, ma'am.
Really?
Yeah. Papa, he's hot in a dime store frying pan on a guitar. And Mama play real New Orleans piano.
Yeah.
And my little brother, The way that boy play a tailgate trombone make Tommy Dorsey start looking for work.
How about you, Beulah? Didn't I hear you playing the piano in here this morning?
Yes, I reckon you did.
Mm-hmm.
My training's all been on the pipe organ, but now and then I go slumming on a piano.
Do you sing too, Beulah?
Yes, ma'am. Mezzo soprano. On the blue side. Picked up a pretty penny singing in a nightclub once.
What'd you do with it?
Throw it right back to the man that flung it.
Good for you, Beulah. That was very insulting.
That's what I say, ma'am. I throw it back to the man. I say, mister, I say, there's only one animal I know who can throw a scent that far, and you is one of them.
And your mother still plays a hot piano, eh, Beulah?
Yeah, so she's 82 and stomping around like she's only 40.
Ah, that's wonderful. How does she do it, Beulah?
Well, ma'am, Mama got a philosophy. Mm-hmm. When people ask how she keeps going so good, she say, I stand easy, sit loose, and when trouble come, I go to sleep.
I never could do that, Beulah. I can stand easy and sit loose, but when trouble comes, I always run to meet it.
Yeah, when trouble comes, you always run to meet it. Love that man, and I bring you a can opener right away.
Billy Mills playing I Won't Dance.
You know, Molly, tuning a piano isn't too tough once you get the hang of it.
Neither is lion taming, dearie.
Hmm?
Show me how you tune a piano. I'm full of morbid curiosity.
Oh, sure. Here, look over my shoulder. You see these little square knobs in here?
Yes.
You just put a wrench on one of those and twist it till the note sounds right. Like this. Too tight.
Keep that up, McGee, and all we'll be able to play on this is Silent Night. How many strings you broken so far?
Six, I think. No, seven. Old Highmiller never could have done any better than that.
He never did as well. He never broke any.
Well, he ain't as strong as I am. Oh, say, you play the piano. Maybe you can tell me something.
I could tell you any number of things, dearie, but the reason we've stayed married is because I didn't. What do you want to know?
About these 3-foot pedals on the piano down below there by the floor. I know the left one is the clutch and the right one is the brake. What's the middle one for?
Well, McGee, you got me.
Huh?
I've been playing the piano for 20 years, ever since I was 7 years old. And I don't know what that middle fiddle is for.
Oh, well, don't matter. Now, let me see. This middle G is too sharp, remember? I gotta get there.
Oh, Mrs. McGee, is Mr. Highmiller here? I thought I heard the piano tuner.
Himself hears the piano tuner, Alice.
Oh.
You play the piano, Alice?
Well, I took some lessons for a while, but I had a lot of trouble with the treble, and when it came to the bass, I never got to first. Can just anybody tune a piano, Mr. McGee?
No, I wouldn't say that, Alice. It takes a certain amount of musical knowledge.
Sure, he has quite a musical background behind him, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
He carried the front of the bass drum in the Peoria High School band.
Oh, I think it's so wonderful to know music. My uncle used to play in a symphony orchestra, the oboe.
How come they let a hobo play in a symphony orchestra?
She didn't say hobo, she said oboe.
Oh, an English hobo. I still think...
No, Mr. McGee, an oboe is a musical instrument.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle used to say it was an ill woodwind that nobody blows good.
What was your uncle's name, Joe Miller?
You want to sit down with me here a while and watch him tune up, Alice? You and I and the piano might as well all get unstrung together.
No, thank you, Mrs. McGee. I've got to go downtown and make a donation.
Well, if it's a good cause, Alice, you might take my donation along, too.
Well, it would be a little difficult, Mr. McGee.
Why, Alice? Where are you going?
To the blood bank. Goodbye now.
Well. I must sound pretty professional at this, Molly, if Alice thought I was old Heimiller. Now, let me see. Where was I? Oh, yes, up here.
Hey, take that lid off my head.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Thanks.
There.
That's the fourth time that dead red thing has fallen on me.
You're really knocking yourself out on this job, aren't you? Maybe when you...
Hello, folks.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior.
What are you doing, pal? You gonna tune the piano? Sweet Genevieve, he is going to tune the piano. Look, pal, tuning a piano is no job for amateurs. Why don't you get Heimiller to come over and do it?
Oh, Heimiller, Heimiller, Heimiller. My gosh, is he the only guy in the world that can tune a piano?
There's no use arguing with him, Mr. Wilcox. Compared to him, a Missouri mule is a very weak character.
Yeah, but gee whiz, chum, tuning a piano is a pretty tricky job. This piano is a delicate instrument.
Correction, was a delicate instrument.
Okay, scoff if you want to deride. But by George, when I get through here, this thing is going to play the sweetest music this side of Lombardo. And are you inferring that I'm not capable of tuning this piano?
Did you ever tune a piano?
No.
That's all, brother. Goodbye.
Why, he was really serious about that, McGee.
Well, so what? I'm not the one to let a little minor criticism stop me. Hand me my pitch, pup, will you?
Here.
Thanks. Used to use this for calling ducks, but all I ever got was sparrows. Now, where was I? Uh-oh, that one needs loosening up. Hand me my wrench. Whoops! Turned it the wrong way.
Lost chord number 8. I'm afraid I can't stand this anymore, McGee. I'm going upstairs and change my clothes. Let me know when Dr. Gamble comes.
Doc Gamble? What's he coming here
he
for?
He told me he'd give me a ride downtown on his way to the hospital. I gotta do some shopping. Try and save one or two piano strings. We can use them later to hang pictures.
Okay. Ah, there goes a good kid. What's stubborn? Piano has to be falling apart before she let me tune it. And she's probably right, too. Ah, see. Sure wish I knew what I was doing. I can work myself into more corners than a chain drugstore. Oh, well, come in.
Hi, mister. What you doing? Watch ya.
I'm tuning this piano, Teeny. There ain't a note on it that don't need 4 cosigners.
Oh? I didn't know you could tune a piano, mister.
You didn't know I could stand on one hand and juggle a lawnmower with my feet either, did you?
Can you?
I don't know. I never tried that either. Now, sit down and keep quiet, sis. This is a delicate job, and I can't have any distractions.
Okay, but I just came over to ask a favor, mister. Can I?
May I?
May I what?
May you ask me a favor.
I guess I may if I can I?
Well, what is it?
I want to practice my piano lesson on your piano. My teacher says I simply got to practice more.
You have, huh?
Hmm?
I says you have, eh?
Have what?
You got to practice more.
That's just what my teacher said. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't use this piano, sis. I'm working on it.
Let me try it, mister.
No.
Oh.
Look, sis. Look, I hate to break up a fascinating concert like this, but I got to finish tuning this.
Please, mister. If you do not appreciate good music, kindly refrain from talking so that others may enjoy it.
What others?
Me.
Hey, cut it out, sis. Cut it out.
Huh?
I says, that's enough. I got work to do here,
you
and
mean
I can't...
You're not going to let me practice?
Right.
You do not appreciate a little child's artistic efforts? I may not be a finished piano.
Now, you are on this piano, sis. Look, sis, I don't...
You're going to stifle my career? Stand in the way of my musical education?
No. I'm not standing in the way of anything. I just...
Are you against little children, mister? Don't you want little children to have a musical education?
Yes. Of course I do. I think music is swell for kids.
Okay, then.
Now, look, sis.
Hmm?
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a quarter for a soda if you'll go home and practice.
Okay, mister. Thanks. I'll get the soda, but I can't practice at home.
Why not?
My daddy gave me 50 cents to come over here and do it.
Oh.
The King's Men sing Skip to Maloo.
Lost my partner, what'll I do? Find your partner, anyone'll do. Skip-to-maloo. My old shoe is torn in two. Lost my sock and lost my shoe. Stop the fiddler, I'm all through. Skip-to-maloo. Was a lady, Miss Louise O'Grady was her name. Your grandpa made her change it. He thought he could retreat and rest his weary feet. But for 50 years, whenever she could arrange it, she made him skip-to-maloo, my darling. Diamond rings, quite a few, limousines painted blue, mansions on the avenue, skip-to-maloo, my darling. Wouldn't Grandpa really get a bang if he could do-si-do with a good old gang?
That one isn't so bad. A little flat, maybe. I'll give her a couple of twists just for safety.
McGee, have you nearly finished tuning the piano?
Almost. Tightening some of these upper strings, so... Whoop! There goes another one. Hey, remind me next time I tune the piano to do it in the summertime, Molly. I think this cold weather makes the strings brittle.
It's a deal, dearie. It'll be a very hot day before I remind you to tune it again.
Thanks.
You're welcome. How does it sound now?
Oh, much better. Listen. There.
Oh, that must be Dr. Gamble. Come in. Hello, Doctor. I'm all ready.
Hello, Molly. Hello, Guppy.
Hi, skin grafter. On your way to scare some poor patient out of his wits with that solemn puss of yours?
For your information, Buster, the Gamble bedside manner is famous on two continents, America and Long Island. And if you... What goes on here, anyway? Got mice in the piano? Or breaking in a vaudeville act?
He's tuning it, Doctor, he claims.
And believe me, Doc, I know exactly how you felt the first time you peeked into a thorax. But there's one difference. This piano is going to live.
Baloney, if you'll pardon the colloquialism. This jukebox has got one foot in the junkyard already. Look at it. Keyboard all loose, lid on the floor, sounding board across the room, strings all over the place. Why, well, you bonehead, there isn't a whole string left on it.
Oh, no. Well, how about this one right here? Whoops!
Hey, I wonder what we can do with the piano when they all break. It's a little big for a paperweight and too small for a guest house.
Molly, this man is going to set music back 500 years. We'll all be dancing around in our bare feet playing flutes. Now look, maestro, when you get through with this job, will you stop over at my house and give me a hand?
Your piano need tuning, doctor?
No, but I have a bagpipe that's a little short-winded. Breezy here can blow it up for the next 6 months with 5 minutes conversation. Come on, Molly.
So long, Chubby. Good day, Tommy Thumper. Now hurry home, Molly.
I will.
Now I can work in peace. I'll see. Where was I? Oh, yes. I was working up here on the treble clef.
Thanks very much for bringing me home, Doctor. Sorry you can't come in for dinner.
Okay, Molly. I'm sorry, too. I'll see you both later.
Oh, dear, I'm almost afraid to look in this.
Molly, is that you?
Yes, dearie. Is everything all right?
Now, don't come in yet. I didn't expect you so soon. I got a little surprise for... Okay, come on in.
What is it, dearie?
Oh, nothing, really. I just wanted to get the top back on the piano and get it dusted off. All set, that's all.
The piano?
Yep.
McGee, does... Is it...
Like I said, all tuned. As soon as you hang up your coat and hat, you might come on back downstairs and try it out.
As soon as I hang up my... I'll try it now. This very minute. And do I dread it. Why, McGee, that's wonderful.
Oh, shucks. It's, people do it every day. Takes a little time, but...
Oh, it's wonderful, dearie. Sounds like a baby grand. Oh, it is a baby grand, isn't it? Oh, but it's going to be a pleasure to play this now. I can hardly wait to get at it. Wait till I run upstairs and hang up my coat. I certainly apologize, dearie, for everything I said. You're the most wonderful man.
Phew. Oh, boy, that was a close call. Hey, Hi, Miller. You can come out now. Hurry up.
I ought to charge you an extra $5 for sitting behind that Davenport, McGee. I got a crick in my neck that you can't...
Pipe down, Heimiller, will you? And get out of here. You better go out the back way, so... No, no, no. Not that door. No, that's the hall clock.
Oh, I'm sorry, McGee. I didn't realize it.
Huh? Now beat it, will you, Heimiller? Quick, now get out that way. Send me the bill, and much obliged. Phew. Oh, well. Looks like I got away with it.
What are you staring into space like that for?
I was just trying to think of something I forgot.
Now, what was that?
I know. You were going to say goodnight to our friends in the armed forces of the United Nations.
That's it. Good night.
Good night, all.
Wilcox speaking. This rebroadcast of the Fibber, McGee, and Molly Show is a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Was a better career out there for me, but I couldn't afford to quit my job to get the necessary education. Thanks to Henry Ford College, I didn't have to. In just 2 years, I earned my associate's degree and was ready to start a new career in the industry I love. I work hard for myself and for my family, and I've earned the chance to advance in my job and in my life. Henry Ford gave me that chance. I'm a Henry Ford College graduate, and I'm future driven.
Henry Ford College, future driven.
The Fibber, McGee, and Molly Show.
Are you a Dearborn resident 60 years or older? Did you know that you can take classes at Henry Ford College tuition free? Would you like to improve your computer skills, become an actor, an artist, or an auto mechanic, or enjoy one of 100 other classes? You could even find yourself on the radio like I did, and I did it tuition free at Henry Ford College. For a complete information and a list of classes, please visit our website at hfcc.edu.
All right, we are here at 89.3 WHFR Dearborn. This is Radio Vault. We just heard Fibber, McGee, and Molly. A Special Armed Forces version of that show. Of course, we are listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College, WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists, ready for the final hour of today's Radio Vault. This is a show called The First Nighter.
Italian Bomb presents the First Nighter program, a copyrighted feature, coast to coast. Theater time on the Great White Way, and once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're invited to attend an opening night performance in the Little Theater off Times Square.
There'll be plenty of traffic tonight, so let's get an early start to the theater. Here's my cab. Won't you step in? All right, driver, up Broadway. Well, here we are. Have your tickets ready, please. Have your tickets ready, please.
Good evening, Mr. First Lady. Curtain in 2 minutes. Thank you. We'll go right in.
We have just a moment now before the play begins. I see that the title of this evening's dramatic offering is Love and Gazooza, an original comedy romance by Virginia Safford, co-starring Barbara Luddy and Les Tremaine. The story is pure fiction and does not refer to real people or to actual events. And now before first curtain, let's listen to Eric Segerquist and his famous orchestra.
We out of gas.
Now, Dad, don't get excited.
290 in the shade and no shade. You would rent a car and drag me around to see Mexico in the raw?
Well, we can probably get gas at that house.
What house?
See, that gate, a big rancho like that would have gasoline.
Look, Emily, we're supposed to be on our way to my oil wells down at the Tehuantepec. And for no good reason, we're miles and miles away in Cholula. There's something fishy about this. Where's that Mexican fellow live?
Why, in Mexico. What Mexican fellow?
Why did he leave New York in such a rush?
He didn't. He left very slowly.
What happened between you and him?
Why, Daddy, I hardly knew him. Just a mere acquaintance. Rancho Grande,
I adore mi vida.
Look, Daddy, down the road.
Huh? There's some Mexican on a horse. Emily, stop digging around under the seat.
I've got to find my compact.
Buenas tardes, amigos.
Buenas tardes, senor.
Emilita. Little Emilita.
Why, Esteban, imagine running into you down here. Esteban, here's Daddy.
Daddy? Oh, that is to say, Senor Caldwell. Oh, but this is wonderful. To find little Emilita at the gate of my hacienda.
This big rancho doesn't belong to you.
Oh, but see.
Why, imagine that, Daddy.
Imagine.
But how did you get here?
Why, we ran out of gas.
Gasolino? But I have mucho gasolino. Come to my house. I will shower you with gasolino.
Just in the tank, please.
Oh, never. Never have I been so exciting. I leap from my horse.
Oh, isn't he wonderful, Daddy?
I untie my lasso, and springing before the car, I tie it to the cow catcher.
He's going to tell us that.
Yes, I'm following the action.
Now, I leap on to my horse. Yes, that's here we are. We are ready, no?
Ready.
Bueno. And off we go. Come in. I bid you welcome to my house. Come in.
Oh, how lovely and cool.
Hey, nice old place you have here.
Gracias, senor. It's the casa.
How's that?
It is your house, senor.
Oh, no, I couldn't take it. Yes. I see what you mean. Thanks.
Come into the patio. Pedro has cool drinks waiting for us.
Oh, look, a fountain. And the flowers. Esteban, Avi, it's heavenly.
Heavenly now that you are here, Emilita. Senor, what will you have?
Is that gazooza?
You like gazooza, senor?
He's had it everywhere we've been in Mexico.
Thanks. You know, a fizzy pop like this would be a sensation in the States. I'd like to know who makes it.
Oh, Emilita, so many times I've dreamed in my mind of you, sitting here by my fountain. When you sent me away from New York...
I didn't send you away.
What you gave me, what you say... Be friends?
The gate. But I said we'd always be friends.
Oh. My heart breaks. I come home to my hacienda, but always I think of you. Always I say to myself...
Stephen, please, not out in public.
Don't mind me. I'm strolling around the garden.
Everything is yours, senor. Pick all the flowers. Oh, Emilita.
Stephen.
My little coffee blossom.
I was...
Your what?
Coffee brochure.
Oh, Stephen, we must never, never quarrel again.
But there's nothing to quarrel about now, my sweet. You have come. Each day I think, mañana she will see her mistakes. Mañana she will come. So now, it is mañana.
You mean you've been expecting me?
I knew you would realize how much you love me.
You knew. You were waiting for me. You're the most conceited person I've ever met in my life.
Conceited? Because I knew you would come?
I didn't. Dad had to come to Tehuantepec to see his oil wells.
So? Then why are you in Cholula?
We're just passing through.
Oh, you funny little monkey. You come here because you knew this is where your Esteban lives.
That had nothing to do with it, and you're not my Esteban.
Oh, but I am. I make myself a present to you. Oh, Emily, it does not matter. You are here. We are happy. I will show you my friendly country.
Well, we must be going.
To see my country?
Back to our hotel.
You talk of hotels when I'm making love to you.
It's the El Grande. Dad, come on. We must go.
Emily, don't wait. I have much more to say.
You've already said a great deal.
Are we leaving already? No, you must stay.
Yes. Come, Dad. Where's our car?
Oh, Esteban, about that gasoline.
Well, it was not necessary, senor. There was plenty of gasoline in the tank. Emilita, wait, you must not go.
Hurry, Dad.
Emilita, why you act like this? You are angry, but why are you angry? Why?
I prefer not to discuss it.
Senor, you are her father. Ask her why she's angry.
Why are you angry, Emily?
I'm not angry. I never felt more pleasant. Get in, Dad. Goodbye, Esteban. Thanks for the gasoline.
And the gazooza. Ah, great stuff.
It has been my pleasure, senor. Emilita, why you do this crazy thing? You come, you are happy, you go, you are angry. Why? Why?
Goodbye, Esteban.
So long. Adios. So, this is a pretty arm, I. New little spoiled monkey. Okay, but maybe this time I show you. Oh, caramba, how can I love you so much?
The curtain comes down on the first act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Foggy in the outer lobby or downstairs, please.
Attention, please. Tomorrow morning, how would you like to get a letter with $100 in it? Could you use $100? How about $1,000? How about $5,000? Listen, you may think things like that don't happen, but they are happening. Tomorrow or the next day, five people whose names I'll give you later in this program actually will get the thrill of getting a letter containing $100. And a few weeks from now, someone will get a check for $1,000 and someone else a check for $5,000. How come? Because Campana is giving away $10,000 in cash in order to get people everywhere acquainted with the fact that there are now two kinds of Italian bomb on the market. For a good many years, there's been just one kind of Italian bomb. The famous regular Italian balm, one of the most popular hand lotions ever developed. But now, realizing that some skins are less dry and less sensitive to weather, wind, and hard water than other skins, and that millions of women want a hand lotion for mild weather in the spring, summer, and fall, as well as in the winter, Campana has prepared a second kind of Italian balm called Special Improved Italian Balm. Now, we're sincerely interested in finding out which of the two kinds you like the better. We're giving away $10,000 in cash to get your opinion. $500 every week. That is $100 to each of five people. Plus a grand prize of $5,000 and a runner-up prize of $1,000. Listen later and I'll tell you more about it. Seats, the lights are dimmed, and here's the second act of Love and Gazooza.
Coffee, senor?
Gracias, Pedro. Pedro, listen.
Si, senor.
Pedro, if you love a beautiful senorita, very stubborn, and she does not know what she wants, but you know she loves you, though she will not admit it, what would you do?
I think beating is always good, senor.
No, Pedro. Women and horses must never be beaten. It makes them rear up on their hind legs and show their teeth.
I think beating is good. More coffee, senor?
Gracias.
Senor, how you feel about kidnapping?
Kidnapping? No. She would be a terrible captive.
Si.
What do you mean, si? You mean no?
Si, senor. No.
And might set fire to El Grande Hotel and then dash in a saber from the roaring flames.
But, senor, you own the hotel.
Si. Oh, that is right. But Santa Maria, I must do something. She's my life. She's everything. I cannot lose her again.
Senor, the guitar.
No, Pedro, no. Do not play now. I have no mood for music.
But, senor, it melts the cold heart. They love the romance, these little senoritas. The song beneath the window.
Oh, that is it. I will roar like that. Give me the guitar, Pedro. Bring my horse. I go to town. I got to be romantic.
Another glass of gazooza, Emily. That's delicious.
No, thanks.
Want to go out in the plaza and watch the handsome dons make goo-goo eyes at the senoritas?
Heaven, no.
Well, if you feel like that, why do we hang around here? Why don't we go on to the Wantepec?
No, I don't want to go just yet. The climate here agrees with me.
I give up. Of course, I never thought you'd marry a foreigner, but still, in all, Esteban's a fine chap. I can see how a girl would. In fact, if I loved him enough to come all this way to see him, I'd marry him.
You two would make a lovely couple, dear.
Boy, bring me another bottle of gazooza.
I thought he'd be here by this time.
By George, I wish I could find out who makes that stuff.
He must have been crazy to have thought
that. Gazooza, senor?
Well, if he doesn't care, I don't either. I'm going to bed, Daddy.
It's hot inside. Nice out here in this patio. Say, waiter, who makes this gazooza?
Why, you wish to know, senor?
Great Scott, why do you all act so suspicious?
No, sabe, senor. We are stranger here.
Good night, Daddy. I'm going in.
Nobody will tell me. You think I was planning to steal the stuff. Where are you going, Emily?
Oh, you... hadn't even tried to see me. What are you doing out there?
I'm singing.
Well, go sing somewhere else.
Oh, senorita, how can you be so cold of heart when you are so beautiful? Your lips like red cherries, your cheeks like fragrant peach blossoms.
Stop that. Go away.
So gentle, so little and lovely, I cannot live without you.
This isn't going to get you anywhere.
Mañana I will learn your name. Mañana I will seek permission of your papa to pay my respects.
Don't be silly. You know my name. You know me.
But tonight I pour out my heart in song beneath your window. Since the moment I saw you, senorita, my heart beats only for you.
Esteban, do you feel all right?
Oh, now you spoil it. You will not pretend with me.
But what sort of talk was that?
Listen. In New York, I make love the Americano way. Now I make love within my own country. I pretend I have seen you with your dueña in the plaza. I come sing beneath the grill of your window. Cuando se le dea van a valgame Dios. It is beautiful, romantic. But no, you have no imagination.
Well, you needn't get mad. How was I to know you were...
You're a spoiled little brat. You think you can twist me around your finger, but no. I am finished.
Esteban, you're not going to let me go away, but back home.
Would you have me beg for love? No. This is the end. Forever.
Esteban.
Adios.
I'd feel lots better if you'd come along to the Wantepec.
No, Dad, I'm going back to the States. As soon as your train leaves, I'm going back to the hotel and pack.
And for Pete's sake, change your clothes.
Oh, stop fussing about these shorts. At least they're cool.
You shouldn't wear shorts down here. These people don't understand the way they look at you.
Oh, get on, Daddy. Oh, wait, your carton of gazooza.
Oh, yes, thanks. I must have that. And nobody will tell me who makes it.
Daddy, your train's moving.
Goodbye, Emily. Be a good girl.
Goodbye, Dad.
Senorita, huh? Two. 1 minute. I command you to stop. Halt.
What?
Do you mean me?
You. Come with me, pronto.
But, wait a minute. Let go of my arm. Let go. Help! Police!
You call me?
No, not you. You let go of me. I want a policeman.
Me? I am the police.
You? Si. Well, what are you trying to do?
The respectful citizens of Cholula demand I arrest you for running around in the street in your underwear.
Underwear? You mean these shorts? Don't be silly. Oh, let go of me. You can't do this. My father will... I said let go.
Oh, you... Aha! You kick me.
Yes, and I'll...
So now I arrest you again for resisting a policeman of the law.
And the curtain comes down on the second act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking downstairs or in the outer lobby, please.
Ready for the last act, and there goes the curtain.
But you can't keep me locked up. Who do you think you are?
Me? I am Lopez, the man who keep you locked up.
I demand to see the chief of police.
No speak English.
You let me out of here.
Maybe mañana, maybe next month. Yes, Bobby.
Now, listen, Lopez, let's talk this over. You must know that in America, everyone wears shorts for sport.
Oh, I think America plenty local country, I think.
Oh, go away. No, wait. Bring me some dinner. I'm hungry.
Oh, very sorry. Calabozo do not feed you against the law.
I just start?
Maybe you have some friend to bring you food. No?
No.
Too bad.
But I'm hungry. Oh, all right. Give me a pencil and paper.
You eat them?
I want to write a letter.
Guess the law.
Oh, now, listen. You have a kind, intelligent face. Heaven forgive me. A fine, handsome man like you wouldn't refuse me that much. Just a little letter. Nice, senor.
It is still against the law. But what you say about me is true. So here, the paper and pencil.
Oh, gracias so much. Well, wait just a minute. Here, now send this at once, please.
Mañana.
Now, send it to Esteban de Morris at once. You hear?
Si. El señor Esteban de Morris? Why you not say so? Hey, Pancho. Pancho, wake up. Take this to El señor de Morris. Andale.
Esteban. Oh, darling, I knew you'd come.
So, I find you in the calabozo, little Evelita. Imagine.
Did you bring me something to eat?
What, she? In this big basket, my coffee brochure.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, poke something through the bars, quick.
Not so fast. First, you respond me one little question. For positively the last time, will you marry me?
Oh, so you're taking advantage of a starving girl. Well, let me tell you this. My answer is permanently, definitely no.
Then it is settled. You do not eat. I think I will rest a minute here on the ground.
Oh, go away and let me alone.
For the moment, I have nothing important to do. And I'm a little hungry. Tamales, tortillas, cold chicken.
I hope you choke.
Excellent.
If you were a gentleman, you'd make them let me out.
You do nothing for me, I do nothing for you. Oh, wish I brought along a little pepper.
You think you have me at your mercy, but what's to stop me from saying I'll marry you just to get some food?
No, you would not do that. Though you are a little devil. You love me too much.
Love you? I don't even like you.
So? You come all the way to Cholula to see me.
Oh, you
can
you,
think
you.
Of nothing to say, no?
If I said what I'm thinking, they'd arrest me again.
Oh, how sad it is that every time we meet, we quarrel. What was it we quarreled about in New York? I've forgotten.
Well, I remember very well. It was because, Because, well, at least you could have come back.
Well, I knew you would come here.
I was leaving this morning when Lopez arrested me. Esteban, did you tell him to arrest me?
I wonder. Would I like another piece of chicken?
Esteban, answer me.
Shall it be a wing this time or a leg?
I just said to my good friend Lopez that I think the Americano senorita need a little watching.
Oh, how can you be so mean to me?
If there is anything you wish to say to me now, Emilita, I am willing to listen.
Don't be like that and then stop eating, can't you? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no. You are just hungry.
Oh, I know I acted like a half-wit in New York. I'm a brat.
Oh, listen, Emilita, you do love me.
Yes.
You cannot live without me?
No.
Say it then.
I love you, Esteban. I can't live without you.
Oh, my little darling, put your face up to the bars.
You going to feed me?
Oh. First, I must kiss you. Oh, amante, Emilita. No, I will come around and untie the lock.
But how can you?
It's very simple. I have the key.
Hey, what's going on around here?
Who said that?
What? It is Daddy. Listen, I'm on the track of it. I know the man's name. Feller on the train told me.
Daddy, what are you doing here?
I doubled right back. They said at the hotel you were in jail. What in thunder are you doing in jail, Emily?
Oh, it is all right now, senor. We will have no more trouble with her.
Fine. Listen, Esteban. This Cazuza man lives here in Cholula. His name's Demores, and he has this factory.
What, senor? I am the Cazuza man.
No, no, no. His name's Demores.
Esteban de Demores at your service, senor.
You are the Cazuza. Well, by George.
Why didn't you tell me you were looking for me?
Why? Great Scott, man, I've talked to nothing else. Oh, yes, yes, young man in love. I know. Listen, are you paying attention to me now?
Si, I'm listening, senor.
I want to buy the American right.
Well, senor, I will make you my partner.
Partner? Say, that's great. We'll go back...
Yes, pardon me for interrupting, but can't somebody give me some of that chicken?
1 minute, darling.
Back to the hotel and draw up the papers. But what about Emily? How'd she get into jail?
Wait, senor. First, I wish to ask you for your daughter's hand.
Don't wait to ask me for anything. Just go marry her before she changes her mind.
Oh, Daddy, you are right. We will marry pronto. Not the mañana, not the next week, but right now.
Oh, Esteban. And then we'll have a beautiful big wedding breakfast.
And the curtain falls on another play hit in the little theater on Times Square. Keep tuned to this station. Elma Davis will follow with highlights of the news. And now we move out of the theater and into the street.
Here's your cab, Mr. First Nighter.
Thank you. Good night. The First Nighter program is a copyrighted radio feature. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to Radio Vault on WHFR 89.3 on the FM dial. We just heard the First Nighter program from March 25th, 1941. That one kind of snuck up on me. Love and Gazooza from the First Nighter program. And we're going to continue with Abbott and Costello. Let's listen, shall we? And this will be a fun one.
The Abbott and Costello program. Listen to the music of Freddie Rich and his orchestra, the songs of Connie Haynes, Billy Gray as Little Matilda, the famous cartoon character Bugs Bunny. Tonight's guest, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer star of Marriage is a Private Affair, Miss Gladys Turner, and starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Oh, This way for the Abbott and Costello Show. Tickets, please. See the Abbott and Costello Show. Really, folks, it's a good show. Won't somebody please come in? Come on in, you cowards!
Okay, Ken Niles.
Why, it's Bud Abbott. Hello, Bud.
Oh, hello, Mr. Abbott. Welcome back.
Thanks, Mrs. Niles. Listen, have either one of you seen Costello? He was supposed to meet me here in the lobby of NBC, and it's almost time to start the broadcast.
Well, personally, I don't care if Costello never shows up. All last season, he did nothing but insult me.
But, Mrs. Niles, don't tell me you're carrying a grudge for a year.
Well, why not? I've got a sister I haven't spoken to in 20 years. And Costello reminds me of my sister, except for the mustache.
But Costello hasn't got a mustache.
No, but my sister has.
I'm sorry, but that's final. You can't come in here.
Hey,
let Ken!
Let go! Look who it is!
Hey, Abbott! Costello, where have you been? Look at you. You're perspiring something awful.
I ain't perspiring, Abbott. I just took a shower with my shirt, socks, and underwear on.
You took a shower with your shirt, socks, and underwear on? What's the idea?
Do you know a quicker way to get your laundry done?
Oh. Kenneth, did you hear that joke?
Yes, dear. There will now be a slight pause for station fumigation.
Oh, hey, Abbott, don't tell me that's Mr. and Mrs. Niles.
Well, Mr. Costello, doesn't it look like us?
I wasn't sure. I thought maybe I was getting sick again.
Costello, no fighting, please. It's almost time. It's almost time to go on the air. I'll be...
Oh, yeah. Ready to go on the air. That's right. I can hardly wait to get in front of that microphone. And also with Lana Turner. Hey, come on, Abbott, come on. Let's get inside the studio.
Just a minute, Mr. Costello.
Who are you?
Well, I'm the NBC manager, Fogel.
You're what?
I'm Fogel.
What are you doing for it?
No, Mr. Costello, you don't understand. You've been a pretty sick young man, and we'd like to have the NBC doctor check you over before you go into the studio.
Are you kidding? I gotta get on the air. My public is waiting for me.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about him.
Oh, him. He's a nice guy. Hey, Abbott. Let me at that guy.
Now, Costello, we got more than one.
I know, but... We got three.
All right, take it easy. Take it easy, please. Remember your blood pressure.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with my blood pressure. When I was down in Palm Springs, I used to drill with the soldiers.
Well, that's strenuous.
Oh, I should hope to tell you. I did everything they did. I'd get up at Sunday morning, and I'd take a 20-mile hike, exercise for 3 hours, drill for three more hours, and then I'd get up Tuesday morning.
What happened to Monday?
Wait a minute. What happened to Monday?
Yeah.
You should be so inquisitive.
Yeah.
Who got up Monday?
Well, I see.
I didn't get up Monday.
I can see that.
Well, Mr. Costello, how about the physical examination? We can't let you in the studio without it.
I tell you, there's nothing wrong with me, Poogle.
No.
Poogle.
Stop yelling, Costello. Watch your pressure.
But do you see anything wrong with me, Abbott?
Well, your legs look a little weak. They're bending way out.
Oh, I can't help that. It's a long pull from my socks to my garter belt.
Not in the studio, Costello. We're going on the air.
Okay, Niles. Come on, Abbott, let's go. I've been waiting 8 months to meet Lana Turner.
Just a moment, Mr. Costello.
Now what?
I'm from the insurance firm of Birch Bark and Canoe. I'm Birch Bark.
Where's Canoe?
He went up the river.
Ladies and gentlemen, every show must have a bad joke. This one is on us.
Now,
thank you.
Now, look, mister, our program's going on the air, and we're in a hurry to get to the studio.
Exactly why I'm here. Mr. Costello, in view of your long illness, the network has sent me over to check up on your insurance. They must be protected, you know. Now, how about some life insurance?
No life insurance for me, brother.
Why not?
I took some out a couple of years ago, and nothing happened.
No. No, Costello, he means a policy. Are you interested in a straight life?
A straight life?
Yes.
No, sir. I'd like to sneak out once in a while.
Oh, I...
Well, but the payments on this policy, Mr. Costello, are very low. For instance, it's much higher in Canada. And do you know the premium in England?
Sure. Churchill. I mean, after all, it calls for it. Abbott, will you get this guy away from me? I'll miss the broadcast.
No, shut up, Costello. Pay attention.
All right, forget straight insurance. We also have 10-year endowment, 20-pay life, annuities and health insurance with double indemnity. Now, what would you like to take out?
Lana Turner.
Oh, no, Costello, he's talking about something that'll be good for you in your old age.
So am I.
Look here, Costello. Let's pretend you're in an accident. What would you do if you lost a leg?
What would I care? I got another one.
No. What do you think our company would give you for that leg? $250.
Abbott. Here's a guy, if I lose a leg, wants to give me $250.
Yes,
you ever see anything like that before?
$250.
$250 for one leg.
Yeah.
I won't sell.
Well, you don't understand. Why, last year my company gave over $1 million for broken legs alone.
What did they do with all the legs?
No.
Who did they give them to?
No, look, Costello, you don't
Lace
understand.
Lace Diamond?
They don't do anything with them.
Whatever happened to Lace Diamond?
I don't know. Look, that's a different party entirely. You don't understand. You see, listen, every time there's an accident, somebody gets paid off. For example, yesterday a man breaks his leg. He gets $500. Today, somebody breaks his neck. He gets $1,000.
I wonder who will hit the jackpot tomorrow.
Has nothing to do with the jackpot. Now, for instance, if I sprain both knees and break both ankles, I get $10,000. Or I can settle for $3,000 by waving both knees.
How much do you get if you wiggle your ears? Hey, look, Abbott, I had enough of this. Now, I want to get to my broadcast. Come on.
Costello, you haven't had your examination yet.
Get out of my way, Fugu.
Yeah, Costello, you're going in the wrong door. That's a closet. That's a closet.
Gosh, Fibber McGee.
In the orchestra with a modern treatment of an old favorite, Put Your Arms Around Me, Honey.
They must put my foot down, Mr. Costello. You must be examined by the NBC doctor before you can be allowed in your studio.
But what about my program, Fugle? A lot of Turner's waiting for me.
Oh, don't worry, Costello. You can prove you're all right. Anyway, he's a fine doctor.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
What's his name?
Dr. Jones. Ph.D., M.D.S., LL.D.
What school did you go to? That's a fine way to spell Jones.
Oh.
Ph.D., M.D.S., LL.D.
All right, never mind.
Spells Jones.
Go on in, will you go in, please?
Okay.
Dr. Jones, this is Mr. Costello. He's been very sick for a long time, and he must be examined before we can let him in the studio. I'll be right back.
Yes, certainly, Fugle. Now, Mr. Costello, take off your coat, vest, tie, shirt, undershirt, socks, shoes, and suspenders.
Do you mind if I leave the hair on my chest?
Costello, quiet. Go ahead, Dr. Jones.
Now, open your mouth, Costello. Wider. 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 My brother would like to see that.
Abbott. Is he a doctor?
No, he's looking for an apartment.
I think I got things mixed up. Hey, Abbott, come here. That guy's no doctor.
No.
What do you mean he's no doctor?
That's my line, please.
And by the way, yes, what do you mean by saying that?
Thank you. I knew I heard that someplace before.
Yes. You're the one who said it.
Hey, Abbott. You know, I don't see his thermometer. I don't see his stethoscope. I don't see Lana Turner.
What's Lana Turner got to do with it?
Nothing. I'd just like to see her.
Oh. I resent this, Mr. Costello. What am I, stupid? A dope? A moron?
Try numbskull.
What am I, a numbskull?
I like stupid better.
Costello, stop that. Continue with the examination, doctor.
Very well.
Now, Mr. Costello, just hold still and I'll listen to your heart. My, that's strange. Your heart sounds like a clock. Good heavens. The alarm rang at 8. I can't understand it. Edie, good night, Doc. I set it for 7.
Costello, we need to talk sense.
Dr. Jones is a Johns Hopkins man.
So what? My father sent me to Wilson. Well, what words? My father sent me to Wellesley.
Wellesley is a girl's school.
I know. My father always wanted me to have the things he didn't have.
Come in.
Oh, doctor, can I do it now?
Yeah, just go ahead, Miss Cruzbach.
Lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. A pistol pegging mama.
All right, That's enough for that. What's this on here?
Oh, I'm the floor show. The doc can't afford magazines.
Get out of here! Hey, Abbott, come on now. I want to get to my studio. Big cut.
Say, Costello.
Two pages of cut.
Say, Costello.
What?
There's a crowd going into Studio B. Let's follow them.
Okay.
You're wasting your time, boys. Those people are going in to see John's other wife.
Are you kidding? John's other wife?
Yes.
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
I'm John.
Get me out of here! Now, that's the last straw. Everything happens to me. Doctors, insurance men, John's other wife, Hugo. I'll never make the program.
Yeah, what's up, Doc? What's cooking, huh, Chubby?
The Costello, it's a little rabbit.
Yeah, from the cartoon. It's Bugs Bunny.
Say, Bugs, what are you doing over here at NBC?
Well, I came over to see your program, fellas. I get tired of eating carrots. I like a little corn once in a while.
That's very funny for a rabbit.
You like it, Doc? You know, we could make a great team. Rabbit and Costello. Rabbit and Costello.
Say, he's pretty cute, Costello. Why don't we keep him around?
Sure, Doc. I can be your bread and butter.
Yeah, but who wants a hare in his butter? Come on, Abbott. We're wasting time.
Now, don't leave me, fellas. I'm feeling very sad today.
What's wrong?
Well, I broke up with my girl, Doc. We was going steady. Every day I used to bring her a carrot corsage. And boy, did we have fun. We'd gamble over the fields together, play hopscotch and check up on the Victory Gardens. But it's all over, fellas. I guess we were just never meant for each other.
Why not?
She was a gopher.
Now listen, Bugs, will you stop annoying me? All I want to do is to get into the studio.
Well, why didn't you say so, Doc? Look, all you have to do is go through that door, turn left, turn right, go 2 miles over the skyway, 3 miles over the byway, then 6 miles down the highway, and before you know it, you'll see Lana Turner taking a sunbath on a patio.
But that ain't my studio.
I know, Doc, but that's living.
Hey, Abbott, will you do something?
Do what?
Look, Rabbit. Abbott, what's the difference? Look, Abbott, will you get him out of here?
Oh, give me a break, Doc. Let me hang around your program and pick up a few nickels, huh? I'm a family man.
By the way, Bugs, how do you stand in the draft?
Well, they just reclassified me 1A, and I got 480 kids.
Wait a minute. Just a minute. They wouldn't put you in 1A if you got 480 kids.
I'm a rabbit, Doc. They came after Pearl Harbor.
Connie Haynes back with us again. She sings the new rhythmic hit, that either too young or too old.
You marched away and left this town as empty as can be. I can't sit under an apple tree with anyone else but me. For there is no secret lover that the draft board can't discover. They're either too young or too old. They're either too gray or too grassy green. The pickings are poor and the crop is mean. There isn't any gravy. The gravy's in the Navy. They're either too old or too young. So, darling, you'll never get stoned. Tomorrow I'll go hiking with that Eagle Scout and left. I get a call from Grandpa for a snappy game of chess. I'm finding it easy to stagger that gold. The gravy's in the Navy. They're either too fresh or too stale. There is no available meal. I must confess to one romance, I'm sure you will allow. He tried to serenade me, but his voice is changing now. I'm finding it easy, take it as gold. They're either too young or too old. I'll never, never fail you while you are in Australia. And when you get to India, I'll still be what I've been here. I've looked the field over, lo and behold, they'll take the army, they'll take the navy, 'cause they're either too young or too old.
And now back to Abbott and Costello, who are still having trouble getting into the studio.
Oh, boys, wait a minute.
Oh, Fogle.
That's an understatement.
I have some very good news for you, Mr. Costello. You can go on the air now. Your basal metabolism is impeccable, while your hemoglobin content is rich in hypoxithium, and your capillaries are simply pulsating.
Now listen, brother. Watch your language. I got my mother's picture in my pocket.
Oh, will you stop that, please? Mr. Fogle means the doctor has given you an okay to broadcast. Come in the studio.
And keep quiet. The program's on.
Okay.
Oh, my darling Lana, come into my arms.
Kenneth, my dear, I love you madly.
Hey, Abbott! That Niles is playing my part!
Yes, and look who the girl is. Lana Turner.
All right, Niles, come on, break it up.
Oh, just a moment. Mr. Niles and I are playing a love scene.
That Niles is no lover.
Oh, yeah? I've kissed women who wouldn't look at you.
Oh, yeah? I've kissed women who wouldn't look at me either.
Costello, will you stop fighting?
I'm not fighting, Abbott. Now, listen, Niles. On this program, you take care of the announcing. Period.
And you take care of the comedy. Question mark.
Why, Niles, I'll...
Oh, please. Please, Mr. Costello.
They don't even let me finish a line. Ow!
Please, I appeal to you as a woman.
Well, if you're going to appeal to me as a woman, of course. If you were a man, you wouldn't appeal to me. At all.
All right. I'm sorry, Miss Turner. Please forgive Costello. He's a little impulsive.
Repulsive?
No, he said impulsive. I-M-P-U.
Well, we all have our
Now, listen, you wouldn't talk that way, Lana, if you saw my last picture.
Oh, you mean the one where you were on the ice?
That's the one. What did you think of it?
You certainly kept well.
Hey, Abbott, watch this girl.
All quiet. Come on, Costello. This is where we're supposed to do a love scene.
Abbott, I didn't know you cared.
Well, I do, Lou. Never mind that.
You want to do a love scene with me?
No.
Let's pick out the furniture.
Will you keep quiet, please? No remarks. I mean a love scene with Lana...
That's way back.
Listen. Lou, this might be interesting to you. I'm talking about a love scene with Lana Turner.
Oh, I just adore love scenes. Are you ready, Mr. Niles?
Mr. Niles?
You heard that, Costello. She wants me.
You see, Lana, since I put Niles on this program, success went to his head.
From where I'm standing, it looks like success went to your stomach.
Did you hear that, Abbott? What an insult.
Oh, she's right, Costello. You are fat.
Well, I may be a little fat on the outside, but underneath, I'm solid flab.
Let's go, Niles. Get on with the love scene.
Yeah, but what about me?
You can play a love scene with Mrs. Niles.
I heard that, and I'd love to play a love scene with you, Mr. Costello.
Don't call me Costello. Call me Dick Tracy.
Well, that's silly. Why should I call you Dick Tracy?
So I can call you Pruneface. Did you get that ad lib, Lana? That's what put me on the top of the ladder.
Yes, and your audience is at the bottom, daring you to come down. Well, Costello, I'm waiting.
So is your broom. Why don't you fly out of here?
Now, that's not nice, Costello. Mrs. Niles has some very fine points.
Yeah, she certainly has. For instance, Costello, take her hair.
Okay, throw it over here.
Oh, I don't know what's wrong with you, Costello. You fight with everybody.
I can't help it, Abbott.
Oh.
All those months that I was sick, I was thinking about doing this love scene with Lana Turner. And now she won't even talk to me.
Oh, don't feel that way, Lou. The truth is, I dream about you. I dream about you every night.
You do?
Yes. Yes, I do. Do you think I can sue Ovaltine?
I get it.
All right. Never mind. You get it.
Ovaltine.
Yeah, you heard her.
We're working for Camel Cigarettes.
Never mind that.
Ovaltine.
All right. A little extra change.
Oh, we'll get a case.
All right, look. Look, come on. Let's get to the play. All right, Mr. Rich, let's have some music to put Costello in the mood. Ken, set the scene.
And make it snappy, Niles.
The scene is an old castle in England. It is the 16th century when hearts were brave and knighthood was in flower. The night is still, and Lady Lana stands on the balcony awaiting her lover. She has been waiting anxiously, longingly, patiently, hopefully.
Come on, Niles, get with it. Faster.
And why not?
I can't wait much longer. Come on.
She hasn't seen her lover in a fortnight. Ah, each minute seems like an hour.
You forgot the seconds.
Each hour seems like a day. Each day like a week. Each week like a month.
Each year.
Each month like a year.
Each year
like...
This is only a half-hour program. Now get with it.
Oh, but Lou, he's putting you in the mood to kiss me.
I've been in the mood for 8 months, kid. Abbott, never mind, Niles. You set the scene.
Okay, Lou. The stillness of the night is suddenly broken...
Now, this guy'll set it fast.
Suddenly broken by the sharp clatter of horses' hoofs.
Where does the horses come from?
The lovely Lana's eyes light up. Her lover is riding into the courtyard on his white charger.
Ah, white charger. I don't charge nothing. I pay everything cash.
He leaps from his horse and starts to climb up to her balcony. Hand over hand. Hand over hand.
Two hands over hands.
One foot up. The other foot up.
Come on, get me up, Abbott. Hurry up.
Then one hand up. Then the other hand
it's
up.
It's going to be too late. Now get me up.
Inch by inch. Foot by foot. Yard by yard.
Get me up there, will you? I want to kiss the dame.
But, Lou, what's your hurry? There's plenty of time.
Not for me, kid. I'm in 1A.
All right. Finally, you reach Lady Lana's side. And the play begins. A play of love. Emotion. An adventure.
Rich, this orchestra can easily be replaced by a jukebox. Now, I'm going to do this scene without music. Ah, Lady Lana, I love you. I kiss you. Or kiss me, one or the other.
But not here, my lover.
Why not? Love is paramount. Love is universal.
Oh, you're out of luck. I work for MGM.
Some plug, hey, Lime? Ah, come on, Lana. I've been waiting 8 months for this.
All right, Lou. You can kiss me.
This is spite work. Hello.
Mr. Costello, this is Fugle. No kissing in our studio. Kissing spreads germs.
Not me. I kiss so hard, I kill him.
Costello, will you quit fooling around?
Who's fooling around? All I want to do is kiss Lana Turner. Oh, come on, Lana. Will you please kiss me?
Well, all right, Lou. Now, if you'll just close your eyes, I'll have a big surprise for you.
Okay. My eyes are closed.
Oh, boy, I can hardly wait. Lon Turner's gonna kiss me.
Now keep your eyes closed. Here's the surprise.
Are you eating carrots, Lana?
Lana, who, Doc? I'm first. And I'm not.
Again, we send our thanks to the Yanks of the Week, Americans who have distinguished themselves for heroism in the battle area.
To Captain H.D. Maxwell of Pink Hill, North Carolina, and the entire crew of his Liberator bomber, who turned their big four-engine B-24 into a fighter plane when they saw two German Focke Wulf heavy bombers attacking in a large convoy in the Atlantic. While the huge enemy planes were making their bomb runs on the ships, Captain Maxwell and his men attacked with machine guns. And though cannon and machine gun fire from the enemy wounded every man aboard the Liberator, they shot down one German plane and probably destroyed the other before they themselves crashed in flames. Our airmen were rescued by ships from the convoy they had saved. We salute you and your crew, Captain H.D. Maxwell.
And now here's Bud Abbott with a final word.
Ladies and gentlemen, now that our program is over and we have done our best to entertain you, I would like to take a moment to pay tribute to my best friend and to a man who has more courage than I have ever seen displayed in the theater. Tonight, the old expression, "the show must go on," was brought home to all of us on this program, more clearly than ever before. Just a short time before our broadcast started, Lou Costello was told that his baby, one-year-old Tamara, had died. In the face of the greatest tragedy which can come to any man, Luke Costello went on tonight so that you, the radio audience, would not be disappointed. There's nothing more that I can say except that I know you all join me in expressing our deepest sympathy to a great trooper. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI, Los Angeles.
A rather rare and historic Abbott and Costello program from November of 1943. And that is just about going to wrap it for today's Radio Vault. We are going to make way for the other side with your host, BK. Invite you to join us on Sunday night for Sunday Night Mysteries. We've got more suspense, more mystery detectives, and we're going to hear another bunch of Planet Man, and maybe a surprise or two, as we usually come up with. That's on Sunday Night Mysteries here on WHFR from 9 in the p.m. until midnight. So until then, you take care of yourself. Have a good week ahead, and stay cool, and we'll talk to you soon. The Keeper of the Archives, bidding you adieu. See ya. End with a little mud puppy.
I think you need a reset. Time to reflect on the week you've had and prepare for the rest of the week to come. A few hours to tune out and focus on calming the soul. If that sounds like your jam, tune in to Midweek Midnights every Wednesday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. right here on WHFR Radio. Join me, your host, Radio K, in showcasing both new and old shoegaze, indie alternative, and dreamy ambient space music that takes over the airwaves, ready to drift you into your happy place. So tune in this Wednesday and hop on the Midweek Midnight Spaceship. You won't want to miss your ride.
Get in, loser. We're going shopping.
Pull up a coffin and tune into The Crypt on WHFR.FM 89.3 every other Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. The Crypt, digging up the gravest mix of doom, gloom, death, punk, horror, and Halloween on the only station making waves, WHFR Dearborn.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
This edition of The Other Side has been pre-recorded.